read the lies with the radio.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now, getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime.
College, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get Score Power at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, Taco.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical break, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system. Beaming around the planet on RadioPower.org, one of the web's finest private independent radio stations, listener-supported radio stations, with archives at the also listener-supported site WhiteRoseSociety.org, as well as we've just updated the topical archives at TomHartman.com over the weekend, so you may want to check those out. There's a bunch of new stuff up there. And One day till regime change. 500 days since treason was committed in the White House and Valerie Plame was outed. 729 days since the search began for weapons of mass destruction. 806 days since the anthrax attacks guaranteed the passage of the Patriot Act. And 1,105 days since we were attacked on 9/11. One day till regime change. In the news, the Borowitz report today, this is relatively important news, I think. It's independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader today blasted terror mastermind Osama bin Laden for referring to both President George W. Bush and Senator John Kerry in his latest terror tape, but failing to mention Nader. Nader said, quote, Osama bin Laden's refusal to mention me even once in the course of a major terror video just proves that he's controlled by the same corporate paymasters as the two major party candidates. This is Osama's way of trying to get me to quit the race, but he's got another thing coming, he said. The erstwhile consumer advocate theorized that Mr. bin Laden may have omitted any mention of him in the five-minute video because, quote, I am the candidate he fears most. Mr. Nader explained that, unlike Messrs. Bush and Kerry, he has consistently pushed for stricter emission and fuel economy standards for all vehicles driven by al-Qaeda madmen. The third party candidate capped his critique of Mr. bin Laden with the following ultimatum. Include me in your next video or face my wrath! The bin Laden tape dominated the presidential race over the weekend, as you may have noticed, as Mr. Bush vowed to destroy bin Laden by airing a series of negative attack ads against him in several key swing states. For his part, Senator Kerry said that defeating Mr. bin Laden would be his top priority, adding, I know that Dick Cheney's daughter, who is a lesbian, by the way, agrees with me. Meanwhile, Mr. bin Laden denied that he was trying to influence Tuesday's election, adding that if he wanted to do that, he would move to Ohio. Well, thank you, Andy Borowitz, BorowitzReports.com. Jim Jeffords has written a letter to Ralph Nader, the only independent member of the United States Senate, asking him to drop out of the race. Jim Jeffords says to Nader, I don't think you want to see the average American suffer through another recession, or to see Social Security privatized, or women lose their right to choose, or the Supreme Court to move dramatically to the right. Unfortunately, your presence on the ballot in key states could result in exactly that outcome. Jim Jeffords continues to, in his letter, his personal letter to Ralph Nader, he says, as I recite the litany of damage that has been done, I can only wonder aloud, how can our country and others sustain another 4 years on this most frightful course? So, good question. 1-866-889-8894, by the way, our telephone number, our website, tomhartmann.com, if you want to pick up the live web stream, if you want to drop into the chat room, click live chat. No, we're not on TV today. It's radiopower.org. Our server had crashed just at the top of the hour, but we should be back up and streaming. Should be no problem there. Nader voters favor carryover Bush by a 3-to-1 margin. This in the news. The first in-depth look at voters supporting Ralph Nader's independent candidacy finds that Kerry is their second choice by a 3-to-1 margin over George Bush. Nader on the ballot in 30 states, 9 of which are crucial swing states. Nader, for example, in Florida, got 97,488 or, according to one count, lost by 537. RalphPlease.org has raised money asking him to change. We'll see what happens. All I can say is to repeat what I have said before. A vote for Ralph Nader is a vote for George Bush. It's just, in my mind, it is just that simple. And that would be a very dangerous vote. We need to encourage Ralph to go back to doing what he was doing when he started Public Citizen and the Center for Auto Safety and all the other great organizations that he has done. He has produced dramatic change in the United States before he decided to let his ego get the better of him and get into politics. It's an American tragedy. It really is. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Glenn from Grand Rapids, Michigan on the line. Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Yes. Man, was it great to see you and Bernie on Friday.
Well, thank you.
That was really great. How did that come about, anyway?
C-SPAN had decided that they were going to, as part of the pre-election stuff, they were going to air a bunch of talk shows. And they did, 6 or 8 or 10 local talk shows from all around the country. And then they did 2 national talk shows. They did me and they did Glenn Beck. And frankly, I have no idea how they came to that decision-making process, other than that maybe I've been in the trade papers, in the industry papers, the publications like Talkers Magazine that people in the business read a lot lately. And for whatever reason, they showed up here.
I sure wish it would have came on a month before. The chance of you coming back on again?
On C-SPAN, by all means. I'm sorry, I said Glenn Beck. It was Howie Carr that was the other guy who was on. He was on after me, the other national guy. All I can say is, contact C-SPAN and ask him. But, I'm pleased just to be on radio stations. I mean, we're doing a radio show.
What's the early reaction, though?
I got about 500 emails as soon as we get off, within 24 hours after we got off the air. About a half a dozen of them. In fact, Louise was going to print them out for me this morning. I don't think that I have them here, though. Telling me that I was, all the right-wing stuff, telling me where I could go and where I can put it. But the vast majority of them saying, hey, good show. So it was fun. Anyhow, I don't want to get into a C-SPAN thing. Glenn, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And, nice note the camera without even leaving for the bathroom. That was something new. 1-866-889-8894. Rob in New Mexico on the line. Hey, Rob, what are your thoughts on this day before the election?
I was just calling in to say that my brother and I were talking the other day about this, the fate of our country in the sense of presidents, starting from Washington. It's been every 72 years, we were talking, since there's been a really excellent president, starting with Washington, who was the most nonpartisan president, I think, who led us to start off. Lincoln, 72 years later, obviously an excellent president, and then Roosevelt, 72 years later, was inaugurated. And 72 years from then, his inauguration day is, I think, what Kerry could be elected, and I think he would carry on that. Possibly that same kind of tradition, and
yeah.
We're well overdue.
Yeah, I've been saying the same thing. And, in fact, you know, every month I do a book review for BuzzFlash.com, which for the first 3 weeks they run as Tom Hartman's Thinking Person's Book of the Month. And then the last month they just run it as their premium. And it's this month, or what was the month of October, it was Leni Riefenstahl's video, Triumph of the Will, the 1934 Nazi propaganda movie, which I think people actually should watch today because it will... It will scare the heck out of them. But in any case, you know, about what's going on today. But in any case, 2 months ago, my book of the month was a book by Strauss and Howe called The Fourth Turning. And in that book, The Fourth Turning, which was actually written about 7 years ago, they go back all the way to the 1500s and show how every 80 years, roughly, every four generations, there is an absolute repeat of history. And that and their theory of how it works is that there's a generation, just to arbitrarily pick one, there's a generation that experiences a terrible crisis, you know, a depression and a war. For example, the Great Depression of 1760 followed by the War of 1776. That generation, you know, does something extraordinary. Then they give birth to a generation that, responding to their parents and responding to the world into which they were born, that quietly builds. That would be the generation of James Monroe, you know, the third president of the United States, or fourth president of the United States. And then that generation, to go back to the 1700s, that would be like the generation of the 50s, for example. And then that generation gives birth to a generation that asks questions, that has a spiritual renaissance, that is rebels, you know. And that's, of course, the generation of the 60s and 70s. And then because of the kind of parents that they end, that it becomes very materialistic and really just into making money. And then that generation, because that's all they're into, brings about another crisis and another economic crash and disaster, and another war, and we're back, you know. So this is every fourth generation leads to this crisis and war, and you know, and so you had the Revolutionary, and before the Revolutionary War, there was the great crisis of the 1690s, as I recall. There was a war. I'm forgetting the name of it. And then, you know, 80 years before that, there was the War of the Roses, as I recall. And you know, they go all the way back to the 50s. And here we are again. It's been 80 years since Roosevelt. And I think that I recommended their book because it was so spot on. It's called The Fourth Turning. And if you want to get into the science behind this, the sociological, anthropological science, it's really fascinating. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it is time for another great president. I think John Kerry could be it. Thanks for the call, Rob. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Jason in California on the line. Hey, Jason, welcome to the show. Maybe not. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Rick from Grand Rapids. Jason from California dropped off the line. We have somebody different on line three, Rick in Grand Rapids. Hey, Rick.
Enjoyed seeing you on C-SPAN.
Well, thank you.
And that was an interesting theory about the 72 years.
Yeah, or 80 years, more or less, actually.
Also, you know, and you can't really go by these things, of course, but that theory about the Redskins losing, you know?
Yeah, there's that.
That bodes well for Kerry.
Yeah, and then there's also, throughout the history of the United States, whoever had the best hair won.
There's the weekly reader poll. There's all kinds of things like that out
there.
But my question was to you, it would almost be poetic justice, wouldn't it, if Kerry were to win the Electoral College this time and lose the popular?
Yeah.
And if so... I just don't think the Republicans are going to stand for that. I imagine that Tom DeLay and Bill Frist in the Senate would be, you know, we can't have this Electoral College. This goes against the Trump College awfully quick.
Rick, you've identified the great tragedy of American politics. On one of the Sunday shows, George Stephanopoulos' show, he had on Bill Frist, the doctor who became a multimillionaire by bleeding public hospitals dry by turning them private, and Nancy Pelosi. And in the span of a minute and a half, Bill Frist managed to tell three gross and blatant lies in his opening sentence. He said, you know, John Kerry has attacked our at Tora Bora, has attacked our troops, you know, and in three different times he said this. And of course, it was just an absolute lie. He's dishonest. And there is this small group of people, Bill Frist, Newt Gingrich, the Fox News bunch, the Limbaugh bunch, and there are a few on the Democratic side as well, who really believe that the ends justify the means, and they'll lie to make things happen, and it is corroding American politics. It's time for us to rise above it. 20 after the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers. Instead of sitting everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. He clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channel?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total $99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Christmas right. Right to Christmas left.
And welcome back. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number. I think it's kind of venting day. You know, it's the day before the election. And so much. I mean, this new videotape from Osama bin Laden. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, it's bin Laden trying to throw the election to Bush because Bush has done absolutely everything bin Laden wants. That latter statement being largely true, including allowing bin Laden to stay alive. It certainly has elevated him to near mythic status all around the world, something that wouldn't have happened had Bush pursued the same policy against bin Laden that Clinton did against Tim McVeigh. But I really think, the CRN stream is going to reboot, so people will have to log on again if you're listening on there. So anyhow, just a note handed to me. But I think, frankly, that the bin Laden tape is not so much about him caring whether it's Bush or Kerry, frankly, as much as he appreciates all the gifts that Bush has given him. I think it's really just about bin Laden. So that, you know, after the election, no matter who wins, he can claim credit for it and to raise his own stature. I mean, it was the perfect moment for him to say something that would be viewed all over the world. If he said something that's viewed all over the world after the election, it wouldn't get half the press that it gets, you know, 4 days before the election. So, I really think that this is all about bin Laden. But, you know, we'll see what impact it has on the election. Todd from Tipton, Indiana on the line, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Hey, Todd, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Great. What's up, Todd?
There's something that's not been mentioned in the campaign at all, except for maybe in Iowa and a couple other states, is agriculture. And the reason I say that is the county I'm from, Tipton, Indiana, it's 99% agriculture. And when 2% of a population employs 25% of the world, you know, the United States is created through agriculture. And I was a little upset that neither one of them has addressed that. Because after oil comes food.
Yeah.
The second most important thing around the Middle East and Europe and Asia.
Well, and if you just get down to the bottom line, it's really kind of, along with water, the most important thing, because you can't survive very long without it.
Yeah, and I was just a little upset that they didn't mention none of that. And then the second thing I had to say, my dad's always told me, beware of anybody that says they're doing this for your freedom or to protect you.
Yeah.
Usually that means they want to control you or...
Well, there's probably some truth to that. I was a little startled when George Bush repeated over and over and over again, you know, that his job was to protect the American people. Commander-in-Chief is certainly one of many jobs of the President of the United States. But what he's doing is he's putting this thing out of the protective parent, the strict father model, to use George Lakoff's phrase. And it either reveals an attempt to manipulate, cynically manipulate, emotionally manipulate Americans, keep ignorance about the history and role of the executive branch of the government.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, this all, the Patriot Act and all that has the smell of 1984.
Oh, it doesn't have the smell. I mean, it was lifted right out of Orwell's book.
I read that book as a young kid, and that left such an impression on my mind that when I was able to vote, I never missed a primary, and I've never missed a general election either.
Yeah.
And I got involved in the process, and I became a lobbyist for the UAW for a short time.
Good on you.
Until I switched jobs. And I wasn't allowed to keep that position. And I've been to Congress. I've testified in Senate hearings in the state also.
Yeah.
And what goes on behind the scenes is amazing.
Yeah, and we need to get more people involved. And Todd, you know, I think speaking of George Orwell in 1984, one of the great tragedies of our day is that it's not required reading in our schools any longer. Because when I was a kid, it was. I'm sure when you were a kid, it was. In fact, that's probably how most of us read it, because we had to. We had to read book reports on it. And it's absolutely a brilliant piece of literature. Todd, thanks for the call. Got to move along here. 29 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense. From the radical middle.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Oric XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Oric XL.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Even with only one day left until Election Day, the Swift Vote veterans controversy is still refusing to die. The American Federation of Government Employees is calling for an investigation into why retired Air Force Colonel Ken Cordier, a man linked to the Swift Boat vets, was allowed to make disparaging remarks toward Democrats while giving a speech on POW issues at WIGO Veterans Federal Affairs Regional Office. According to witnesses, Cordier started referring to scumbags who threw their medals and said he hated the Democratic Party since LBJ stopped bombing Vietnam. In addition, the AFGE, who has endorsed Kerry as president, has also come under fire. Veterans Affairs has filed a complaint saying the union has done political activities on at least two VA campuses.
Controversy has swirled around Walmart's announcement to build near Mexico's Teotihuacan pyramids, and yesterday more than 100 people rallied at the archaeological site protesting what they believe is a desecration of their culture. Antonio Garcia Nieto is a local resident.
My family and I have found several ancient vases that used to belong to our ancestors, and we turned them over to the National Institute of Anthropology and History. They say that we are crazy and that there is no destruction. And the truth is that there is, because we are witnesses of the destruction that is happening where they are building the Walmart.
Residents are angry that the store would be visible from the top of the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon.
Federal complaints have been filed against Colorado's top three grocery chains, who have signed a pact to share revenue in the event of a strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union alleges that Safeway, King Soopers, and Albertsons have refused to turn over details of the pact and are violating antitrust laws by making the deal. The two sides are currently in contract negotiations, and the UFCW could strike if a compromise is not reached by the end of this week. There is disagreement over health care benefits and wage increases. UFCW Local 7 represents the more than 17,500 workers involved in negotiations.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Have your wages stagnated but your credit card bill skyrocketed? According to a report by the Economic Policy Institute, current U.S. economic growth is being driven by increasing debt, not by wage growth. The GDP grew by 3.7% in the third quarter. Consumer spending increased by 4.6%, yet after-tax income grew by only 1.9% in the last quarter. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Gonna pay the bill. Who's gonna pay the bill? Not Rush Limbaugh, not George Will, not those chicken hawks on Capitol Hill, not the tax cut billionaires. You know the drill.
No, it's going to be your children and mine, just like we are this year, spending $160 billion on interest on the money that Ronald Reagan borrowed in the 1980s. We're with you on our program. Our show today is sponsored by Small Dog Electronics, high technology for low prices, Macintosh, and other computers as well. If you want information, smalldog.com, or you can call them at 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS, and by the Organic Wine Company, their telephone number, if you want some really extraordinary organic French wine, and they've got some specials right now that are worth checking out, 1-888-ECO-WINE, E-C-O-W-I-N-E, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE, and the Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research, which is www.cascr.org. And grateful to all of them for helping us keep this program going. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, Santa Fe Spitfire on the line. Hey, Spit.
Okay, turn the radio off. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I'm gearing up for tomorrow, and I had called you last week about already the shenanigans going on with early voting machines, the electronic ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to use these public airwaves to let people know that there are phone numbers they can call and online reporting systems they can use to report any election fraud, misconduct.
Absolutely, Spitfire. In fact, I have a list of them here that I keep intending to list. But if you've got what's the phone number?
Okay, well, I've got a couple. Okay. One is 1-866 Our Vote.
OURVOTE 1-866, just like the 800 number, the
right.
Toll-free number for this phone.
And
for this
that goes to one organization.
Right.
There's another one. 1-866 My Vote 1.
Right. The Our Vote, 1-866 Our Vote, gets you right to a lawyer, as I recall. I think is that Americans coming together?
Well, no. I'm actually
people from the American way?
Going to be in their offices fielding phone calls and dispatching lawyers as necessary.
I see.
But I'm also going to take the data I collect from there and call these other numbers so that we can make sure that every organization that's working towards this goal has all the information they need to make a big stink.
Yep.
Because I'm anticipating we're going to need to.
I agree. And finally, you had a website that you wanted to share with our listeners.
Yeah. And it is a very partisan site. It's the impeachbush.org.
Impeachbush.org. Okay. All right.
And it's Ramsey Clark he launched an online
the
system.
Former Attorney General of the United States under Jimmy Carter. And impeachbush.org, the website, the telephone number is 1-866-OUR-VOTE or 1-866-MY-VOTE-1. If you show up at the polls and you have any problems. Thanks a lot for the call, Spitfire. Great to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Let's go to Michigan. Linda from Grand Rapids on the line. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just wanted to give you a call because Bush stopped here Saturday morning for his last-ditch effort.
Uh-huh.
He's a little nervous about Grand Rapids. We voted Democrat in the city for the last three times.
Interesting.
But the area is conservative.
Yeah.
And Sunday, in the press, on the headlines, I woke up, opened the newspaper, and the headline said, Bush preaching to the faithful.
Oh, my.
And the press endorsed Bush a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like it's such a blur between religion and politics.
Yeah.
And for people that are feeling like they need to be voting on single issues, it just makes it all the more
complicated. Oh, it's incredible. We had Ken Starr a couple of days ago speaking to a group. The story is buried in my stack. I can't pull it out instantly, but talking about how the founders intended for religion and politics to be intertwined, which is the most perverse thing that in this election cycle. I mean, the founders were so clear that they did not raising its ugly head, particularly in the state of Massachusetts. And they were very clear that they did not want to see that happen again, all of them.
Yeah.
And even those among them who were what today would be called fundamentalist Christians were very clear that they didn't want religion to have any part of it. And
right. Well, I just thought, you know, for him to be preaching, he's not a minister. He's not speaking the word of God. And to be faithful does not mean you have to vote Republican.
Yeah. Amen. Well said. Thanks a lot for the call, Linda. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894. Dave in Humboldt County, California, on the line. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. I thought I saw our country being saved by a very rational gentleman last Friday morning, and I have a couple of thoughts for you on it.
Okay.
If you got several hundred emails and only a very small handful of them were negative, I think you got a more accurate poll than the ones that we're viewing in the paper and on the TV.
Well, I'm guessing that, you know, there's a self-selection process. I'm guessing that, you know, conservatives would have watched the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show and gone, nah, I'm not interested, and they'd just change the channel.
Yeah.
And liberals and moderates would have watched the show and said, you know, okay. I think that happens in radio, too. Frankly, when I started this program 2 years ago, I fully expected that the mythology that I had been hearing for 15 years out of the Limbaughs of the world, that conservatives and liberals alike listened to, you know, right-wing talk radio, was true. You know, I had bought that story, and what I've now learned both from my own experience and from talking to my conservative colleagues in this business, is that there is a filtering that goes on, that the vast majority of people who listen to my program are centrist or liberals, and the vast majority of people who listen to Rush Limbaugh and the other right-wing programs are center to right or conservatives. And there is this self-selection process. People, you know, the vast majority, certainly there are a few conservatives who listen to this program, and I love it when they call, and I encourage them to call, and I'll always take their calls first. And you know, hint, hint, because, you know, it makes for good radio, if nothing else. Plus, you know, I love to give people an opportunity to learn how to win the water cooler wars. But I think that's really more what it was, Dave, than it was.
Well, you're probably right on that. But one other thing, and I'm recalling, you know, 4 years ago, there were how many of us out in the streets hollering, "We will not forget." I expect every dirty, cheap trick they can pull. We're going to lose all the voting machines, is my guess. But I do think we're going to overwhelm them with numbers.
Yeah. And they're pulling their cheap tricks. I mean, it's this Newsmax, for example, right now, the big right-wing website has this, "It's dear friend, it's already started. Remember 4 years ago, legions of lawyers flown in by the Democrats to challenge the legal results of George W. Bush's win in Florida?" And I read that, and I almost, you know, I could not stop laughing for a moment, because it was Enron jets that were used to fly Tom DeLay's entire staff down. And when you saw that picture of those guys beating on those windows yelling, "Stop the vote," three-quarters of those people were Tom DeLay's congressional staff, who had been flown down on an Enron jet. And the lawsuit was initiated by George W. Bush. That's why it was called Bush v. Gore. You know, and here they're rewriting history, and they are accusing the Democrats in advance of doing what they themselves not only have done but have already started. And it's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. They're going through this whole thing. You know, they're ranting about the fact that there are more people in one of the counties in Ohio registered to vote than live there who are over 18. The reason for that is because Ohio law requires them to keep people on the registration polls for 4 years after they have moved or died or left or whatever, just so that there's a record of it. It's absolutely consistent with Ohio law. It is not representative of fraud. And then the other thing is, they're going through these whole rants about how, oh, look at this, you've got people by the name of Mickey Mouse registered to vote. This is amazing. All this weekend on the TV spin shows, there were right wingers, you know, being interviewed, and they're all going, "Well, you know, there's Mickey Mouse registered to vote, and there's Donald Duck. This is Democratic, you know, rah rah rah." And I don't understand why Tim Russert or George Stephanopoulos or hey guys, those Mickey Mouse is on there because the Republicans paid people to go out and sign up Nader voters. I mean, it was that simple. Here's the story from the Associated Press, written by Peter Jackson back on the 13th of October. Headline citing Mickey Mouse signatures, court throws Nader off Pennsylvania ballots. Calling the petitions rife with forgeries, Commonwealth Court President Judge James Gardner Collins said that fewer than 19,000 of the more than 51,000 signatures from Nader supporters were valid. He goes on to say, in reviewing signatures, it became apparent that in addition to signing names such as Mickey Mouse, Fred Flintstone, John Kerry, and the ubiquitous Ralph Nader, there were thousands of names that were created at random and then randomly assigned to either existent or non-existent addresses by the circulators. And then the article goes on to say, nearly half of Nader's signatures were gathered with the help of a contractor who distributed a flyer at promising $100 to $200 a day to people who circulated the petitions. Dozens of homeless people took the jobs in Philadelphia, where the court found dozens of people signed multiple times. So the Republicans go out, they pay money literally to homeless people to get people to sign up to vote for Ralph Nader. These folks then, because they're being paid by the number of signatures they get, they fill it out, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, blah, 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 blah. They get their money. They go happily on their way. These things get into the system. Everybody notices it and goes, oh, my God, what's going on? And then the Republicans start yelling that this is the result of legitimate Democratic efforts to sign up voters. I mean, and it's not. It's the Republican efforts to bribe people to get to sign up Ralph Nader voters. I mean, if the Nader people had been signing up Nader voters, I mean, if this was really true believers, this wouldn't have happened. Republicans signing up Republican voters, I don't believe that this would happen because they really care. They want Republicans to sign up. Democrats signing up Democratic voters, they're not going to allow somebody to fill out a form that says Mickey Mouse. The only people who would do that are people who are paid to do it. And the paid people to do it this year were the people who were signing up Nader voters paid for by the Republicans. And yet, nobody was calling the cons on this thing on the talk shows. I was just, amazed, horrified, and disgusted. William in North Carolina on the line. Welcome, William, to the Tom Hartman Program. You were live. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Alan in Arkansas on the line. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Yes, I have a relative that I debate with about politics now and then.
There you go.
And last night, I was talking to him, and I told him that John Eisenhower, the son of the president Eisenhower, I told him that he was endorsing Kerry, and that really caught his attention.
Yeah, he didn't just endorse Kerry. He wrote an entire op-ed endorsing Kerry that was published in newspapers all across the United States. It was syndicated.
I also told him that he I didn't tell him that, but I think he dropped out of the Republican Party, too, didn't he?
John Eisenhower? No. No, he's still a Republican.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. No, he's still a Republican. And he's saying, his point was that George Bush is not a Republican. That George Bush is a radical extremist neocon who is taking the country in a direction that is inconsistent with either liberal or conservative values. And I agree with him. You know, I agree with him. I defy any true conservative to call this program and point out to me where George Bush has done the things that the conservatives historically have agreed with outside of enriching the rich. But even then, true conservatives of the Barry Goldwater mode in the old days would have said, let's enrich the rich because that's a good thing in their mind, but not at the expense of future generations. And Bush has done it at the expense of future generations, which even classic conservatives, even Alan Greenspan conservatives, would find horrific. So that's the story. Alan, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
Okay,
I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Nick in Iowa City, Iowa, on the line. Hey, Nick, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up, Nick?
Good, good. Just had a quick question for you. I've only taken place in one election, the 2000 election. This will be my second one. I'm a student at the University of Iowa in Iowa City. It's a pretty liberal town considering it is in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And we've had the option as students in the student union to vote for the last 2.5, about 3 weeks. I chose not to. I chose to wait until tomorrow, personally. But my question to you is, the procedure was a pencil, a piece of paper, a verbal Social Security number and name given to the ladies administering the papers and pencils. And
right.
The signatures were signed in pencil and bubbles were filled in next to the choices. I was just curious how common a practice this was.
Well, that's you're filling out a machine that's going to be optically scanned. It's the same way that you take an SAT kind of thing,
Right.
And that's fairly common. About a third of Americans are going to be voting. That's how we did it here in Vermont. About a third of Americans are going to be voting on ballots that are optically scanned. Here's the interesting thing that you may not know, Nick, and that is that in many European countries. And in Canada, for that matter, they still use paper ballots where you check the mark and civil servants come in and manually count them by hand. In Germany, for example, when I lived in Germany in 86, 87, in Germany, when you vote in the national elections, you vote on a ballot where you check the box, and then over the next 2 weeks, people who have other jobs in government, people who work at the DMV, people who work for the, all the different government bureaucrats, they take time off of their regular government jobs. Government kind of comes to a stop for a week or two or slows down a lot. And they come in and they count the votes along, and they're watched counting the votes with people from the various political parties so that there's no shenanigans, and they add them up. Now, that of course, is how it was done in the United States, but up until 1964 was actually the first election where we had machines counting the vote, where they were mechanical machines. But that's how it was done in the United States for the first couple hundred years. And the way that they know in Germany, minutes after the polls close, who won, is by exit polling. And so the news organizations report the exit polls. Yes, and ever since World War II, in 50 years of polling, the exit polls have never been more than 0.1% off in Germany. So at the end of the voting day, everybody knows who won, but then they still do an official vote-by-vote count. They don't need any machines. We have transferred billions of dollars to the private coffers of these voting machine companies, and they don't need to do that in Germany. They don't need any secret software. There's no chance of it getting screwed up. There's a completely clean audit trail, and we could be doing the same thing here, and it would cost nothing. I mean, we're spending all this money to make this overly complicated. Absolutely, in my opinion, wrong. I think we should be doing what the Canadians are doing, what the Europeans are doing, and just, do it right, do it the old-fashioned way, and get it done. 10 minutes before the hour.
Bonjour, my name is Michel, and I founded the Organic Wine Company with my sister 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines yet, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious that when turned into wine, you can really taste the difference. Our wines are delicious and eco-friendly, so I want to make it very easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you this. That's just $25 plus shipping. C'est magnifique! And if you don't agree, I will gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, which is E-C-O-W-I-N-E. Au revoir.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research is responsible for the following message. It was not approved by any candidate, nor by any candidate's committee.
Hello, my name is Cindy, and I am a progressive. For many years, I've supported Ralph Nader, always admiring his many accomplishments. However, at this critical time, I cannot support his candidacy. You see, I have Parkinson's disease, and embryonic stem cell research may one day save my life. George W. Bush has severely restricted funding for stem cell research. He also threatens to jail doctors and scientists who want to use nuclear transfer research to cure debilitating diseases. On the other hand, John Kerry vows to remove President Bush's restrictions and to openly fund this vital research. Ralph Nader recently admitted that he has no chance to win this presidential election. A vote for Nader can only be a vote for Bush. Please don't throw your vote away. My life depends on it. Thank you.
A five-month trip up the East Coast reveals irony, odd behavior, and questionable judgment in how people deal with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Ken McAlpine describes himself as a delusional optimist, but the author's disposition was put to the test a number of times.
He admitted that he has no chance to win this presidential election. A vote for Nader can only be a vote for Bush. Please don't throw your vote away. My life depends on it. Thank you.
A five-month trip up the East Coast reveals irony, odd behavior, and questionable judgment in how people deal with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Ken McAlpine describes himself as a delusional optimist, but the author's disposition was put to the test a number of times while he researched his latest book, Off Season. McAlpine traveled from Florida to Maine through the winter to see how coastal communities fare after the tourists go home. He met a lot of admirable people trying to protect their communities against rampant development, but he also collected some troubling anecdotes. Case in point, a summer rental on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. The 7,000-square-foot house had seven bedrooms, five with jacuzzis, a game room, theater system, and heated pool. McAlpine also heard about sport fishing charters in Key West, Florida.
I toured the facility. It was incredible science. But those facilities are built on the shells of clams that we over-harvested in the first place. And I'm thinking, why didn't we just apply ourselves before we got to that point?
That's Ken McAlpine, author of Off Season. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
We found a better way of making it seal the electronic voting machine, and then we sold these suckers nationwide. But we're the only ones who know what's on the inside. You push the buttons and our voting machine keeps track. We made it so it's very easy to hack. Call for a recount, it will probably fail, because our machines don't leave no paper trail.
The billionaires for Bush.
Yeah, we'll send you a message that's loud and clear, that the votes can't be counted in your community. Why even register? Don't waste your energy. Don't go to the polls on election day, because we've been in it. Better go our way. And on election
night, amazing to hear billionaires rapping for Bush. It's the billionaires for Bush. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. I should add, by the way, that while the Germans know who won at the end of the day because their exit polls have never been more than 0.1% off, the same was true in the United States up through the election of 1996. In 96, the exit polls started getting a little squirrely. In 98, they got a little squirrelier. In the year 2000, they were so bad. They were so off, particularly in the state of Georgia and in the state of Nebraska, but particularly in the state of Georgia, where the polls, the exit polls, were completely opposite, literally completely opposite, or virtually completely opposite from what the actual election was recorded. And it turned out that those states where the election polls were no longer accurate were those states where there were electronic voting machines with no paper trails. So this is one of my concerns, frankly, about early voting, is if you have 30% of the people voting early on electronic voting machines and there is no consistent day-by-day, moment-by-moment exit poll going on, there's no way of checking these things, and I don't know. It's spooky. In fact, in the next hour, I've got a clip from Bev Harris I want to share with you. I was going to try and get it on a Friday, but the day just got away from me, where she teaches Howard Dean how to hack an electronic voting machine. First, though, let's take a call here. Ron in Columbia, Missouri on the line. Hey, Ron, what's up?
Hello, Tom. I love your show. And I love you, man. And I mean that sincerely.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Ron, I got to warn you, we've only got about a minute left.
Okay. We keep hearing about the army of lawyers that the Kerry camp and the Bush camp have waiting to deal with any post-election legal squabbles, reminiscent of the 2000 election. But nobody that I've been hearing about has been talking about another kind of army that the Kerry camp, I believe, desperately needs to supplement that army of lawyers with.
Yep.
They need to have an army of statisticians and mathematicians and odds makers and pollsters who will scrutinize and analyze tomorrow's vote in minute detail, looking for the subtle statistical anomalies that will alert us to voter fraud.
I absolutely agree with you, Ron. I'm totally right there with you. In fact, that's that piece that I wrote for Common Dreams way back then. You want to win the election, just own the voting machines. And you're spot on correct and absolutely well said. And I think this is going to be one of the most interesting things, is tracking down the post-election polls. It's a Tom Hartman radio program, the true people's radio.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way: to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Even with only one day left until Election Day, the Swift Vote Veterans controversy is still refusing to die. The American Federation of Government Employees is calling for an investigation into why retired Air Force Colonel Ken Cordier, a man linked to the Swift Boat Vets, was allowed to make disparaging remarks toward Democrats while giving a speech on POW issues at Waco Veterans Federal Affairs Regional Office. According to witnesses, Cordier started referring to scumbags who threw their medals and said he hated the Democratic Party since LBJ stopped bombing Vietnam. In addition, the AFGE, who has endorsed Senator John Kerry as president, has also come under fire. Veterans Affairs has filed a complaint saying the union has done political activities on at least two VA campuses.
Controversy has swirled around Walmart's announcement to build near Mexico's Teotihuacan pyramids, and yesterday more than 100 people rallied at the archaeological site protesting what they believe is a desecration of their culture. Antonio Garcia Nieto is a local resident.
My family and I have found several ancient vases that used to belong to our ancestors, and we turned them over to the National Institute of Anthropology and History. They say that we are crazy and that there is no destruction. And the truth is that there is, because we are witnesses of the destruction that is happening where they are building the Walmart.
Residents are angry that the store would be visible from the top of the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon.
Federal complaints have been filed against Colorado's top three grocery chains, who have signed a pact to share revenue in the event of a strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union alleges that Safeway, King Soopers, and Albertsons have refused to turn over details of the pact and are violating antitrust laws by making the deal. The two sides are currently in contract negotiations, and the UFCW could strike if a compromise is not reached by the end of this week. There is disagreement over health care benefits and wage increases. UFCW Local 7 represents the more than 17,500 workers involved in negotiations.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Have your wages stagnated but your credit card bill skyrocketed? According to a report by the Economic Policy Institute, current U.S. economic growth is being driven by increasing debt, not by wage growth. The GDP grew by 3.7% in the third quarter, consumer spending increased by 4.6%, yet after-tax income grew by only 1.9% in the last quarter. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My husband went to school part-time. He's got a bachelor's degree in computer science. So far, no job. And it's been 3.5 years. The computer science industry was downsizing, sending jobs overseas. George Bush said Americans need to retrain. My God, how many times do we have to retrain? Why not bring these jobs back home? I voted for George Bush. I feel very betrayed.
Move On Pack is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
At last, the Bush team has come up with a secret weapon to deal with their disastrous handling of the Iraq war. Yellow smiley face stickers. In a joint effort by top government officials and the Bush presidential campaign, your and my tax dollars are being spent on a propaganda push in our country to spread what the Pentagon calls good news about Bush's Iraq occupation. In a 5-page memo titled Guidance to Commanders, Donnie Rumsfeld himself pushes the propaganda effort, which involves importing Iraqis to make presentations on U.S. military bases. They assemble soldiers to form the audiences, and base commanders are urged to market these appearances effectively by bringing in the local media and prominent citizens. These show-and-tell talks are, quote, designed to be uplifting accounts with good news messages, says Donnie's memo, adding that these events are positive public relations opportunities. Another part of the news spin is to halt distribution of negative news. A government contractor named Kroll Security International issues daily factual reports on developments in Iraq. Obviously, Kroll has had to deliver lots of bad news, including reports detailing the spreading attacks by insurgents. So, in September, the government simply stopped sending the Kroll reports to members of Congress and other outsiders. Then there was September's extremely rosy speech to Congress by Ayad Alawi, Bush's handpicked leader of Iraq's interim government. Did Alawi get speechwriting help from the Bushites? None that I know of, George's PR flack recently fibbed. In fact, both a Bush campaign aide and U.S. Embassy officials in Iraq helped Alawi write the speech and practice his delivery. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's bad enough that we're paying so steeply for Bush's war of lies. Why should we also be taxed for a blatant propaganda campaign to boost Bush's election chances?
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first six payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. Broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, streaming around the planet on radiopower.org. Also on cable systems, cable TV systems, cable radio network. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, our website, tomhartman.com, if you want to drop into the chat room and participate in one of the wisest, most intelligent, insightful, thoughtful, sometimes humorous, occasionally wacky, but always thought-provoking discussions on all of the Internet. You go to tomhartman.com, click live chat, it'll drop you into the Democratic forum on CompuServe. One of the issues, I think, in this election, and perhaps one of the most important, is will our children be dying of the same diseases that our parents died from? And George Bush has pretty unequivocally taken the position that, by and large, yes, that's just fine with him. In fact, his wife is out there saying anybody who says otherwise is offering false hope. Like Thomas Edison was offering false hope when he said, yeah, maybe we can have electricity light up people's houses. John Kerry, on the other hand, has come out and said, no, our children should not die of the same diseases our parents died of. And for that matter, neither should we. And I'm very pleased to welcome to the program Cindy Gilbertson. Cindy is the voice of the CASCAR ad that you hear every hour on this show. The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research, www.cascr.org. And Cindy, hey, great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Cindy, you have Parkinson's disease?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to talk with you about that, okay. both personally and generically. How important is this stem cell, the embryonic stem cell research?
It's the most important thing in my life, and it has been for the last 5 years since I've heard about the isolation of the stem cells and 98, and I've been following it every step of the way.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that just amazes me, Cindy, is how successfully mostly the religious right, the deceptive religious right, the kind of the Falwellites, the ones who are using religion as a pretext to gain power, as opposed to those who are actually promoting spirituality, have convinced so many people in America that embryonic stem cell research has some association with abortion. The vast majority of people who are opposed to embryonic stem cell research think that it requires an abortion. And Bush, of course, promotes this by saying, well, it's taking of a life. And the reality is, and correct me if I'm wrong, the reality is that if a couple are unable to have babies because a woman's fallopian tubes are scarred up, which is the most common reason, usually from a chlamydia infection when they were a teenager or something like that, or from having an IUD or whatever, or for whatever reason, if they're unable to have children, but she does have viable eggs in her ovaries and her uterus is functioning, what they do is they take a long needle and they put it through the stomach and they pull out a few thousand eggs from the woman's ovaries and they put them in a petri dish and they get some sperm from her husband and they stir them together and the sperm fertilizes, you know, hundreds of these eggs, and then they look at them and see, you know, which ones look like they're the most viable, and they pull a couple of those out and they implant them into the woman's uterus, into her womb, where it grows into become a baby. And after they're finished with that, they've got this petri dish full of all of these fertilized eggs that are just, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 cells. They're not human beings. They're not, there's no abortion. It's got nothing to do with abortion. And they're going to throw them away. And right. and what the stem cell, embryonic stem cell research folks are saying is, instead of throwing them away, let's turn them into things like brain tissue that can replace the parts of the brain that are damaged in Parkinson's disease, or spinal cord tissue that can regenerate spinal cord, or pancreatic tissue that can, because these cells, because they're undifferentiated, they have the potential to become any cell in the body. Am I wrong in that?
No, that's correct. That's
this is all absolutely right. How do you think it is that so many people have become so convinced that embryonic stem cell research somehow has something to do with anything other than what I just described?
I think what happens is people really don't understand the process. It's a bit complicated.
But, you know, it just took me a minute and a half to describe it. I mean, it didn't seem that complicated to me.
Well, I don't get it either. To me, it's pretty simple. You know, you're talking about cells in a petri dish, as you described, and the cells are not implanted. You know, you really don't have a chance of a birth or a child or any growth, fetal growth, unless the cell is implanted in the womb.
Yeah.
So that's another aspect that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, and we should probably note also that the Catholic Church is not only opposed to this kind of research because it'll involve disposing of, or it would involve using these fertilized eggs, basically, but they're also opposed to in vitro fertilization. They're also opposed to the process of helping people have children by using the petri dish. And the reason for their opposition is because those eggs would otherwise be thrown away. So it's like they're opposed to the whole thing, whether it's stem cells or not, right? And I don't think most...
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
They opposed in vitro fertilization.
Yeah, they've been on record about this thing for a long, long time, you know, and just as they're on record against any kind of contraception. So I think that this is the... this is like... People just don't get it, you know. They don't understand this thing. What's the difference, you know, between embryonic and adult stem cells? There's all this talk, you know, and the conservatives are all saying, well, you know, we can use adult stem cells.
Yeah, adult stem cells basically come from a tissue that's already developed within the body. So, for example, for cancer, they use bone marrow cells to replicate the bone marrow after intense chemotherapy.
Right.
And that's considered a type of stem cell. The bone marrow cells are used. But the problem with adult stem cells is they're not as potent. They don't multiply as quickly or as effectively. The other thing is that there is a limit to what they can differentiate into. So in other words, if you have a bone marrow cell, it primarily can differentiate into either bone or blood-borne cells.
Right, which is what bone marrow becomes.
Can be done. Although there were some experiments done on heart tissue, and it seemed like they were able to take some of the those cells and turn them into some kind of heart tissue that was
right.
helpful. But the embryonic stem cells are much, much more effective.
Yeah.
And the research scientists really don't want to waste time on adult stem cells if they can use embryonic stem cells and really get to the point much more directly and much more effectively.
Yeah, so it's sort of the stuff that's really going to work well and versus the stuff that's sort of... Also, isn't there an issue with adult stem cells that there's a possibility of rejection because there's already some identification with the body that they came from? In other words, they you can use them for the one person but not necessarily for others?
Well, you have this similar problem with the embryonic stem cells. Can the same thing can happen.
Mm.
Really, the methodology, the newer methodology that is under development is the pneumatic, what they call the therapeutic cloning.
Right, where they take a cell from your body.
And in that method, you really avoid the rejection issue.
Right, and that
that's
and
a
that
whole different process.
Right, and that involves taking, for example, a skin cell from your body and
right.
putting the tissue, putting the DNA from the stem cell into that and turning that basically into a stem cell kind of thing. It's
well, what you do is you took the DNA of the patient,
mm.
the patient's DNA into
the stem
egg.
Cell. Oh, I see.
You
right
take the
egg.
Nucleus out of the egg and you replace it with the DNA from the skin cell of the patient.
Ah, yeah.
And so, therefore, it's the patient's DNA is in the egg.
Mm-hmm.
And when the egg reproduces, it has, therefore, the DNA of the patient, and there you avoid the rejection issue.
Right. They've got to come up with a
yeah.
different phrase than therapeutic cloning, because that brings up so many images in people's minds, and it's really so different from what you're talking about here.
Right.
The Republicans are saying, and I've heard several of them just in the last week say this, that there's no evidence whatsoever that embryonic stem cell research will produce any results whatsoever, and that this is just, you know, as I said...
No, they're wrong.
Okay. How
they're
so?
Wrong.
How so?
There are the NIH, I went to a conference in Washington sponsored by the Parkinson's Action Network, which they give every spring. It's a lobbying effort, and... All the main leaders in research in the stem cell area come and speak to us. And there was doctors from studies from under the jurisdiction of the National Institute for Health.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the studies was using human stem cells to cure a mouse, actually, of the Parkinson's damage. And, you know, they showed videos of the mouse before and after. And
mm-hmm.
and so there is so much evidence. I don't even know where to begin. That's such a
yeah.
foolish remark.
Yeah, on this program...
All over the world, there are research centers being sponsored by in China and the Hadassah in Israel. You have in Singapore, they were advertising for scientists... From the United States to come, and we'll give you a laboratory, we'll give you all the staff you need, we'll give you all the money you need
right.
to do stem cell research. People are not foolish. They're not going to be putting all this money, effort, and energy into something that has absolutely no hope of curing anything.
Yeah.
They've been able in vitro to develop dopamine-producing neurons, which is the exact cell that is needed for Parkinson's disease
right.
to cure the disease.
Right. That's remarkable.
And they've had that capacity for about 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But the problem is that the cell has to connect and give signals back and forth within the brain so that the brain actually utilizes that dopamine constructively.
Right.
And
right. And the stem cells have the potential to do that. We're talking with Cindy Gilbertson, who is with the Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research, CASCR.org. Cindy, we only have a minute left. You've written a poem.
Okay.
Could you share the last couple of lines of your poem? This is about your own life experience with us.
Yeah, this is to people who are trying to stop this process from proceeding. I just say, teach those people to dance, please. Teach them to live and let live, or tell them to ponder their navels if they wish, but don't put my life on hold. Well, they decide the number of cells it takes to dance on the head of a pen. I have dreams.
That's remarkable. Yeah.
This is
literally your life is on the line here.
Well, yes, it is.
On whether or not Bush and
mine and
his
many
brothers.
Other people's.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, Janet Reno, the Pope. Ironically,
and many friends, some whom I've seen expire in the process of this. You know, and since 91, you know, we've really had a big roadblock by George Bush.
Well, in the 20 seconds we have left, Cindy, what can people do? What do you want people to do as a result of hearing this program?
People need to vote for John Kerry.
Okay.
You know, he's clearly taken a lead in stem cell policies, and he clearly has a different set of approaches than George Bush. They are not the same. They're different, and he's the leader here.
He's got it.
He's the one who can
Great.
Open up the funding and the research.
There you go. Cindy Gilbertson, thanks so much for being with us today, Cindy.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman, for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of CASCR.
You're welcome. I've been talking about this since day one, and I will continue to. And CASCR.org is the website. Thanks so much, Cindy. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Bonjour. My name is Véronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Economics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Economics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Bush administration can't seem to get it right when it comes to creating jobs. In the U.S. is a net loss of jobs. In Iraq, the Bush administration blames a clerical error for overstating the number of Iraqi jobs in projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development. The agency first said more than 88,000 were working in its projects as of September 15th, but that has changed to just under 46,000 blamed on a clerical error.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back.
I got to go back to rationality, to democracy, for the healing.
Go on with the dreamer.
Yeah. That's the vote tomorrow, my friends. It's we have had nearly 4 years now of a radical extremist who is neither a legitimate Democrat or Republican, conservative or nor liberal, but a corporatist, pure and simple. every single major piece of legislation that has come out of the Bush administration and been promoted and signed into law by George W. Bush has had as its primary beneficiary large multinational corporations. And we, the people, our democracy, our middle class, our economy, our environment, our educational system, our health care system, right across the board, are disintegrating while those in the boardrooms are getting mind-bogglingly wealthier moment by moment. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number. Ann in Sarasota, Florida on the line. Hey, Ann, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Sorry I missed guests, but I just wanted to bring up something, and it ties into the whole Bush presidency. My brother has leukemia, and thanks to stem cell research and their capability now to donate stem cells, I managed to save my brother's life.
That's amazing.
So stem cells, and my brother is a born-again Christian, but he and his church look at it like the stem cells research that they're doing, that's from cells that would have been destroyed. It's not taking life, it's giving life.
Amen.
My problem with Bush, not just stem cell research, but Iraq war, economy, jobs, health care, Social Security, everything, he has the attitude, it's my way or it's a wrong way, period. He doesn't change his stance. He won't listen to reason. It's, nope, my mind's made up, that's it.
I know, it's like
that.
We can't
take 4 more years of that kind of attitude.
I know, it's like the petulant little rich boy, and I don't mean that as a personal attack. I mean that as kind of a tragic commentary. I can't think of a more accurate way to describe. You know, here's a guy whose every business he's ever had has failed until it was bailed out by either his father's friends or the Bin Laden family. You know, the one exception being the Texas Rangers, which was bailed out by the taxpayers of Texas to the tune of millions of dollars. And you know, he's never had anybody speak back to him. It's a tragedy. I mean, I'm starting to personalize it.
I agree.
To keep it on the issue.
What's scary is how did this man ever get in office in the first place? For one, it's shame on us if we let him stay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Amen. And I don't think we are. I think Kerry's going to win in a landslide. But
I think so, too. In preliminary voting in Florida, there's already over 2 million people already voted, and it seems like the majority from the people I were talking to were Kerry supporters.
Yeah. There you go.
They want to make sure that counted.
Yeah. There you go.
We just need to make sure that Jeb does and Catherine Harris is. Niece and friends don't do anything again this time like they did pulled last time.
Yeah, Glenda Hood. Well, they already are, and they already have. Jeb has had the Florida Bureau of Investigation knocking on the doors of black people in African American neighborhoods. Those who are, historic civil rights activists trying to scare the bejesus out of them, saying we're here to investigate potential voting fraud. And he has said that right up to the day of the election, he's going to continue doing it, even though the people have threatened him with court injunctions. Not to mention that they have is still many of those people who were purged in 2000 from the voter rolls wrongfully are still purged, and on it goes. But I think that there's going to be such an overwhelming response that even in the face of Jeb Bush's banana republic tactics and Glenda Hood's tactics and that they're not going to get away from it. Now you got this Republican guy in Ohio who's the what is his name? Blackwell, who's the vice chair of the Bush for President Committee and also the Secretary of State of the State of Ohio. All of a sudden, he's starting to back off from this stuff because I don't think he wants to be seen as Catherine Harris. I mean, you know, the truth is starting to get out, Ann, and I think we're going to see a change here in this country. I'm very optimistic. Ann, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Always great to hear from you. I know you're a repeat caller. 29 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. You're in the middle of the vast, radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations.
A must-read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Even with only one day left until Election Day, the Swift Vote veterans controversy is still refusing to die. The American Federation of Government Employees is calling for an investigation into why retired Air Force Colonel Ken Cordier, a man linked to the Swift Boat vets, was allowed to make disparaging remarks toward Democrats while giving a speech on POW issues at Waco Veterans Federal Affairs Regional Office. According to witnesses, Cordier started referring to scumbags who threw their medals and said he hated the Democratic Party since LBJ stopped bombing Vietnam. In addition, the AFGE, who has endorsed Senator John Kerry as president, has also come under fire. Veterans Affairs has filed a complaint saying the union has done political activities on at least two VA campuses.
Controversy has swirled around Walmart's announcement to build near Mexico's Teotihuacan pyramids, and yesterday more than 100 people rallied at the archaeological site protesting what they believe is a desecration of their culture. Antonio Garcia Nieto is a local resident.
My family and I have found several ancient vases that used to belong to our ancestors, and we turned them over to the National Institute of Anthropology and History. They say that we are crazy and that there is no destruction. And the truth is that there is, because we are witnesses of the destruction that is happening where they are building the Walmart.
Residents are angry that the store would be visible from the top of the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon.
Federal complaints have been filed against Colorado's top three grocery chains who have signed a pact to share revenue in the event of a strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union alleges that Safeway, King Soopers, and Albertsons have refused to turn over details of the pact and are violating antitrust laws by making the deal. The two sides are currently in contract negotiations, and the UFCW could strike if a compromise is not reached by the end of this week. There's disagreement over health care benefits and wage increases. UFCW Local 7 represents the more than 17,500 workers involved in negotiations.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Have your wages stagnated but your credit card bill skyrocketed? According to a report by the Economic Policy Institute, current U.S. economic growth is being driven by increasing debt, not by wage growth. The GDP grew by 3.7% in the third quarter. Consumer spending increased by 4.6%, yet after-tax income grew by only 1.9% in the last quarter. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 27 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number. And before, we've got a bunch of calls, but if you all who are on the line can just hang on, we will get to you. But first, it's the bottom of the second hour of our program, time when traditionally Ellen Ratner, Victoria Jones, one of the folks from Talk Radio News Service, calls in with our news update of the day. And Ellen Ratner's on the line. Hey, Ellen, where are you today?
Well, I am in Washington yesterday. I was in Florida, and tomorrow I'll be in New Hampshire, Boston.
Holy cow.
I know. It's election week. What can I say?
I hope you're getting
As you probably have already been talking about, Judge Susan Dalt, that's her name. I'm not sure that's how she pronounces it, but that's how it's written, actually barred outside observers, saying that that does not, the presence of outside observers in Ohio does not serve Ohio's interest.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And so it looks as if the Republicans are not going to be able to challenge vote by vote in the voting areas in Ohio. Also, The Kerry folks have a new online video. It's part of their last-minute push to get those voters swayed and to get people out to vote. Judge Rehnquist, Chief Judge Rehnquist, said that he is unable to return to work, and he's going to be working from home, but not on the bench today. He was hoping to be there.
It was revealed today that he's having both chemotherapy and radiation, which
That's
is
right.
really for thyroid cancer. That means it's a whole lot worse than.
That's right. It is spread, and that is not good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not good news for
him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the context of one man's life, it's not good news. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. As you know, both sides are saying that they are going to really support, that they are getting the numbers. Each side says their internal show them the numbers. One last thing, because I know you're running today, and that is that talk radio has been used by the conservative movement and the hosts. They have Sean Hannity doing Get Out the Vote. They had Curtis Sliwa working with people. It's been pretty amazing. Curtis was actually with the Assembly of God ministers. Now, I suppose I thought we had churches not involved in the election, but I guess we do, and he's doing that as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. The Assemblies of God is pretty fundamentalist.
And Curtis Sliwa is working for those guys?
Amazing.
Shocks me.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what is wrong with our sister and brethren in this race?
Yeah, it's this huge disinformation campaign. I mean, this is, I said this last hour, this is the great tragedy of American politics. I think it's what I'm so proud of John Stewart for pointing out on Crossfire, that this World Wrestling Federation slap down politics, tell lies to accomplish your goals, the ends justify the means. I mean, the last serious political campaign that had that kind of mentality was in Germany in the 30s. People lying in order and using fear in order to manipulate voters. It's wrong and it's so pervasive in this campaign, and it's a tragedy, in my opinion.
Well, we just got to get everybody out there and vote.
Yeah, amen. Well said, Ellen. Thanks for the news.
We'll talk
thanks
to
for
you
the update. I look
we'll
forward
be
to it.
All around the country.
Yeah, great. And tomorrow night you're going to be doing election returns, I'm assuming.
We are.
I'll be over at our affiliate WDEV in Vermont Central Vermont.
We're doing election returns for those guys.
Great. So we will be
and
talking
also
to you
tomorrow. We have Adam will be in Florida. Greg will be in Pennsylvania, so they'll be calling you.
Okay, and I think I may be calling into some of our affiliates. We're letting all our affiliates know that I'll be available. I'll have a phone number, and so we'll see how it goes. Anyhow, it's going to be an interesting night tomorrow night.
And a long one, I think.
I suspect. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hopefully, just one night though. Thanks, Ellen. Good talking to you. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. 23 minutes before the hour. Let's go back to our phones here. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Bob in Pennsylvania, is on the line. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show.
Good, Tom. How are you today?
I'm great. What's up, Bob?
Well, listen, I wanted to run a couple of items by you about the voting system.
Yes, sir.
Why couldn't they have a voting card similar to a debit card or a credit card? Where they could go to any place and they swipe that and the information comes up what county they're in and they could punch up a ballot and vote.
You mean as an ID for identification?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, my guess is that probably as time goes on that more and more of our states have already gone to cards that have an electronic stripe on the back that identifies you. And that the driver's licenses will be used, but it's the two problems with that are, number one, there's a lot of people. My mother, for example, doesn't have a driver's license. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't have driver's licenses, and number two, or who choose not to have driver's licenses, and number two, it's a step toward a national identity card, and I think that there's a broad consensus of thought both on the right and on the left in the United States, even though there is buried in this new intelligence appropriations bill a national ID card provision under the guise of standardizing driver's licenses. I think there's a broad consensus that that's not necessarily a good thing for America. I don't think the identity thing is that big a deal, frankly. I mean, can you imagine somebody actually showing up at the poll pretending to be somebody else? I mean, do you think that how often do you think that has happened? I think it's virtually non-existent. I see a bigger problem with people messing with the numbers. I mean, we have, you know, that possibility, I think, is a very real one and one that we should be very concerned about. But don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's my take on that. Bob, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. In fact, I have to share with you before we go any farther. This is Bev Harris and Howard Dean on this is a clip taken off the movie Votergate, and you can find it at votergate.tv, I believe. Votergate.tv. You can see the entire movie on there. And this is just a little clip from the movie. It was originally played on Topic A with Tina Brown when Howard Dean was filling in. And here we have, this is going to run 2 minutes and 12 seconds. And in that period of time, you're going to hear Howard Dean hack an entire state's vote and reverse the outcome, just like, in my opinion, happened with Max Cleland in the year 2000. Here we go. Oh, hang on just a second.
Short seconds.
Oh, jeez. It just, we'll start that over again. Oh, yeah, I had the wrong plug.
Bev sat me down, and in a few short seconds, I was amazed at what I could do.
All right, Bev, show me how to do this.
Well, what we have here is the central tabulator computer. Now, in a voting system, you have all these different voting machines at all the different polling places. Sometimes, as in a county like mine, there's 1,000 polling places in one county. All those machines feed into the one machine so it can add up all the votes. So, of course, if you were going to do something you shouldn't to a voting machine, would it be more convenient to do it to the 4,000 machines or to just come in here to one machine and deal with all of them at once? What surprises people is the central tabulator is just a PC. It's like you and I use. It uses Windows. It's just a regular computer.
Whoa! So all of the voting machines are feeding into one single Windows PC. Now, here's how to hack a voting machine. And, you know, some people say, you shouldn't say this on the air. Tell people how to hack a voting machine. But the simple reality is, any idiot can do this. It's all over the internet. But as you hear this, you are going to learn right now in the next 90 seconds how to hack the vote for an entire county, district, or state.
So anybody who can hack into a PC can hack into the central tabulator.
The GEMS program is the program that is the central tabulator program.
Now, GEMS program is proprietary to Diebold. It is the when the election officials sit in front of the computer, they have this program running called GEMS, and they think they're looking at a voting machine. What they're looking at is a PC running a piece of software called GEMS, and which generates its own databases.
And I'm going to put in a password here. Okay, we're in. Now, this is the official program that the county supervisor sees.
Diebold program?
Yes, this is a Diebold central tabulation program.
Okay.
And then go to election summary report. And it's kind of where it's been for a minute while it adds up all the votes from all the different precincts.
Okay, now they're actually in the Diebold program, so they're seeing what the county supervisor would see, and they're seeing the actual number of the actual vote.
And I can see here Howard Dean has 1,000 votes. And Lex Luthor has 500, so you're beating Lex Luthor, and we're
2-1.
Yes, and Tiger Woods, unfortunately, doesn't have any votes yet.
All right,
let's close this out. I was just showing you the way to go in and look at votes, which, of course, you can't tamper with.
Okay, so that's untamperable. That's the GEMS program. That's in the Diebold, you know, that's the Diebold software. So now she's closing that out. And just going to go to she's got the desktop of a PC.
Go to the start menu, and I'm going to show you something tricky.
Here's the actual hack.
And I want you to go to My Computer and just click that. And you're going to see go to Local Disk C. Go to GEMS, which is the name of the Diebold program. You're going to go to Local DB, which stands for Local Database. That's where they keep the votes. And by the way, this has been out on the internet for ages now.
Now, this is all they're doing is just double-clicking on folders, going deeper and deeper onto Hard Drive C.
Go to Central Tabulator Votes, which is the database we just looked at. And then go to the sum of the candidates, which is that table. You see, we have 800 votes here for you and 400 for Lex Luthor. Let's just flip those.
Now, what just happened was they finally got into the folder that held the database, and they just double-clicked on the database, and the program Excel, which is installed on the PC, brought up the database without using the GEM software. So they just brought it up in an Excel database, and they're now going to cut and paste out of the cells, out of the individual cells in the database, the vote.
We'll make that 400.
And we'll give 100 votes to Tiger. Let's just see what happened here. We'll go back into GEMS the legitimate way.
So now they shut down Excel, and they boot back up the GEMS program, the Diebold software program. So now it looks the way that a county supervisor is going to look at it, thinking that they're actually looking at a voting machine.
County supervisor, you're checking on the progress of your election. And as you can see now, Howard Dean only has 500 votes. Lex Luthor has 900, and Tiger Woods has 100 votes. Mm. We just edited an election. It took us 90 seconds.
90 seconds to edit an election. Now, if your mind is not spinning, well, anyhow. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Ken in Michigan on the line. Hey, Ken, what's on your mind?
Oh, yes, Tom. What I'd like to ask is in the form of a question. How can a person who says he is so religious and so against abortion send 1,121 members of the American military over to Iraq to their deaths and cause the death of over 100,000 men and women and children and civilians and over 400,000 so-called terrorists, and still say they're so religious?
You're speaking, of course, of George W. Bush. I mean, my question was, how could he be so opposed to how could he be so in favor of a culture of life and gleefully sign off on the death signatures of over 130 prisoners in Texas, saying that he was 100% absolutely certain that there were no mistakes when we know that there are mistakes, and when Carla Faye Tucker, who had become a born-again Christian, begged him for clemency, when he was interviewed by a Time magazine reporter, he rubbed his hands together and said, "Please save me, Governor Bush, please save me," and then burst out laughing. This was George W. Bush.
I agree.
And
it's sacrilegious.
This is a man who believes in protecting life until it's born. Once it's born, no problem, off it. And,
right.
You know,
I agree 100%.
It's hypocrisy raised to an art form, in my opinion, Ken. This man is not in favor of a culture of life. He's in favor of a culture of death. He's just pandering to the anti-abortion fanatics to get their vote. That's it.
I agree 100%. And we've got all these deaths have occurred over in Iraq. They're just plain murder, most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, this man, I'm sorry, Ken. I pushed the button prematurely there. The guy, this fellow, George W. Bush, the President of the United States, in my opinion, has blood on his hands. This is wrong. 1-866-889-8894. Mike in Utica, New York, is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, how are you? You know, I agree with you 100%. I mean, this guy, these guys, I should say, Bush, Cheney, I mean, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, that they con the middle class and the conservatives in this country into thinking that they're for them.
Well, you know, a lot of the conservatives actually are waking up and saying, no way. The American Conservative Magazine, Predators, ran, you know, one of their lead editorials saying, vote for Kerry.
$200 billion in Iraq, you know, I mean, spending like a drunken sailor, Senator McCain. You know, these guys aren't conservatives. But, you know, the other thing I find very amusing is how Cheney, you know, tells you, basically telling the American people, he goes, if you don't vote for us, you're un-American. So they're going to build democracies all over the world. They're going to build a democracy in Iraq, but they want to build a communist dictatorship here in our country.
Well, it's not communist, but it's Stalinist. It's single-party rule. It's
single-party rule. Yeah. And, you know, and this is they want this war to last. Look, the Roman Empire was in Mesopotamia at that time, Iraq, for 200 years, and they came back to Caesar with their tail between their legs. Now, are we going to be able to pay for this $200 billion a year for the next 200 years?
Yeah.
And the Roman Empire was a powerful empire.
We can't pay for it for 1 year. I mean, this is enough money to hire over 1 million teachers. This is enough money to rebuild the infrastructure, the roads, bridges, and sewage and water systems of the entire United States. Most people have no idea how much money $200 billion is. It's enough money to pay for a full four-year college scholarship for every person in the United States who is of college age. 100% of them. All free tuition. We could do that with the money that we're spending in Iraq right now. And there's no end in sight. I mean, this guy, he's gone off the edge.
America needs to wake up and see that these guys want to create a one-party system here.
Yeah.
They don't want Gerhard Schroeder had a plan in place by August of 2003 to have Saddam Hussein come out of power peacefully.
Yeah.
And they don't want that. They don't want peace. Okay, they're not looking for peace. So, you know, nobody's good enough for these guys either. You know, when you had the primaries, you know, and Dean was in the lead, he was kooky. And then General Clark came into the forefront, and he was a nut. You know, so if Jesus Christ was in the Democratic Party primary, he wouldn't have been good enough for these guys, you know.
Well, he was, you know, Jesus was a pacifist. I mean, he would be, he would have Jerry Falwell shouting him down right now on C-SPAN. I mean, let's get real here. Thanks for your comments, Mike. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our number. We got to take a short break here. We'll be back with some more of your calls. Votergate TV, by the way, again, the place where you can see that movie with Bev Harris and Howard Dean and many other things. We're going to have a Howard Beale alert in the next hour of our program. Lots of great stuff coming up. Stick around. Tom Hartman with you 10 minutes before the hour.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-05. Surgically removed 3 decades ago. Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research is responsible for the following message. It was not approved by any candidate nor by any candidate's committee.
Hello, my name is Cindy and I am a progressive. For many years I've supported Ralph Nader, always admiring his many accomplishments. However, at this critical time I cannot support his candidacy. You see, I have Parkinson's disease and depends on it. Thank you.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way, to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
This is a Workers' Independent News Service feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. After hearing reports of serious workplace violations, the Brooklyn-based Fifth Avenue Committee launched an investigation of their own with shocking results. Artemino Guerra is organizing director for the Fifth Avenue Committee.
The Fifth Avenue Committee is a non-profit, community-based organization here in Brooklyn, New York. We work primarily on the issues of housing and affordable housing development. And just lately, we've been looking at all the workers that are in our midst due to this recent gentrification of South Brooklyn, workers mainly in the low-wage industries in the neighborhood, like restaurants and supermarkets and greengrocers.
In a recently revealed report, organizers document several cases where supermarket janitors were working 14-hour shifts overnight without paid overtime.
And not only are they not getting overtime or, in many cases, not even minimum wage, but supermarket managers locked them in.
Guerra found 36 grocery stores that were locking in their workers overnight.
It's illegal. They're violating fire code regulations. We're violating, obviously, the OSHA standards, you know, safety and health standards for the workplace. They're violating somebody will even claim that they're violating the civil rights of these workers by falsely imprisoning them. They do it because they can, and they do it because the workers are very vulnerable and they're not going to complain.
After the fire department intervened, the groceries stopped the lock-ins, but Guerra believes the practice is widespread in Brooklyn.
This is happening all over the city, and we have reasons to believe this is sort of an industry practice.
Currently, Guerra is organizing a consumer campaign to ask neighborhood residents to pressure employers to raise wages by $1 per hour. With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Come all you good workers, good news to you I'll tell of how the good old union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you going to be on?
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Tomorrow you get to decide. One 866-889-8894, our telephone number, the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Pete in Michigan on the line. Hey, Pete, welcome.
Hey, Tom. Nice to talk to you today.
Thank you.
And by listening to the program again, you've got a very informative show going.
Thank you.
Not having talked to you beforehand, I don't know what you allow to say or not. But I know that you have a very large listenership here in Grand Rapids area.
Okay.
And I'm the 3rd District Democratic candidate for Congress this year, running against a 5-term incumbent.
Hey, congratulations for getting involved in politics and for getting out there and putting your butt on the line and running for office. Even if you were a Republican, I would say that. But and double congratulations for being on our side or being on the, on the good side, let's say. I'm not a Democrat, but it's anything but a Republican these days.
You know, I listen to Bernie Sanders. He's inspirational. Your program goes a long way towards educating people on the issues, which the mainstream media drops the ball on. And I can't tell you what a beacon of light you've been to have you out here.
Well, thank you, Pete. Pete, what's your last name?
Hickey.
Okay, Pete Hickey, and you're on the ballot in Grand Rapids.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I'm curious, how did you get into this? What motivated you to go out there and take on an incumbent congressman? I mean, you got to know the odds are against you, and it's a huge hassle, and you've probably got a real job and other ways to spend your time. And I mean, what we got about a minute here. What got you into it?
I moved here from the east side of the state in the early '80s after NAFTA. After the free trade areas had taken a lot of the factories from there. And this is a wonderful place to live. Can't praise it enough. But I started to see the same things happening here as I saw happen there. And whether I'm successful or not, I'd like to try and help put a stop to it. Manufacturing is the mainstay of a community. It brings in wealth, and the service industry circulates it. And I'd like to see that continue.
Yeah. So you got into politics because you wanna try and do some good.
Yeah.
You wanna try and bring back manufacturing jobs to Western Michigan. Well, good on you, Pete Hickey, and good luck in the campaign.
Hey, thanks so much, Tom.
I don't know you well enough to specifically endorse you, but I suspect our listeners in Grand Rapids, anyway, can make up their mind on that one. Pete Hickey for 3rd District Federal Congress, right?
Yes, sir.
Federal election. Okay, good on you, Pete. Thanks for the calling in the program. I appreciate your kind words. It's Tom Hartman here with you, straight to the heart of truth, at least to the very best of my ability, every single day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Even with only one day left until Election Day, the Swift Vote Veterans controversy is still refusing to die. The American Federation of Government Employees is calling for an investigation into why retired Air Force Colonel Ken Cordier, a man linked to the Swift Vote vets, was allowed to make disparaging remarks toward Democrats while giving a speech on POW issues at Waco Veterans Federal Affairs Regional Office. According to witnesses, Cordier started referring to scumbags who threw their medals and said he hated the Democratic Party since LBJ stopped bombing Vietnam. In addition, the AFGE, who has endorsed Senator John Kerry as president, has also come under fire. Veterans Affairs has filed a complaint saying the union has done political activities on at least two VA campuses.
Controversy has swirled around Walmart's announcement to build near Mexico's Teotihuacan pyramids, and yesterday more than 100 people rallied at the archaeological site protesting what they believe is a desecration of their culture. Antonio Garcia Nieto is a local resident.
My family and I have found several ancient vases that used to belong to our ancestors, and we turned them over to the National Institute of Anthropology and History. They say that we are crazy and that there is no destruction. And the truth is that there is, because we are witnesses of the destruction that is happening where they are building the Walmart.
Residents are angry that the store would be visible from the top of the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon.
Federal complaints have been filed against Colorado's top three grocery chains, who have signed a pact to share revenue in the event of a strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union alleges that Safeway, King Soopers, and Albertsons have refused to turn over details of the pact and are violating antitrust laws by making the deal. The two sides are currently in contract negotiations, and the UFCW could strike if a compromise is not reached by the end of this week. There is disagreement over health care benefits and wage increases. UFCW Local 7 represents the more than 17,500 workers involved in negotiations.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Have your wages stagnated but your credit card bill skyrocketed? According to a report by the Economic Policy Institute, current U.S. economic growth is being driven by increasing debt, not by wage growth. The GDP grew by 3.7% in the third quarter, consumer spending increased by 4.6%, yet after-tax income grew by only 1.9% in the last quarter. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My husband went to school part-time. He's got a bachelor's degree in computer science. So far, no job. And it's been 3.5 years. The computer science industry was downsizing, sending jobs overseas. George Bush said Americans need to retrain. My God, how many times do we have to retrain? Why not bring these jobs back home? I voted for George Bush. I feel very betrayed.
Move On Pack is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Great news, shouts George W. on the campaign trail. 95,000 new jobs were created in September. This is proof, he exclaims, that his trickle-down economic policies are working. How rosy. How wrong. First, 95,000 new jobs is a pathetically weak number in an economy that boasts such enormous new wealth creation as ours. It takes nearly twice that merely to match the number of new workers coming into our nation's job market each month. Meanwhile, there's the growing job backlog, the millions of Americans who are either unemployed or underemployed, wanting full-time jobs but only able to record Herbert Hoover bad. George will be the first president since Hoover, way back in the Depression economy of 1932, to have produced a net loss of jobs on his watch. Wait, cries Bush, look at the September unemployment rate, only 5.4%. Another rosy number, but another deceit. The only reason it didn't go up is that 200,000 more Americans have become so discouraged in their job searches that they have given up looking for work in September. If you've quit looking for a job, the system no longer counts you as unemployed, even though, of course, you are. But there's another job statistic that George doesn't want you and me to focus on. Wages. The real issue is not the number of jobs, but the pay of those jobs. Wages determine whether ours will remain a middle-class country. And the news here is not good. Hourly wage gains under Bush have fallen beneath the rate of inflation, meaning America's middle class is falling down. Indeed, in September, there was a loss of another 18,000 well-paying manufacturing jobs, while low-paying service jobs were up by 100,000. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's the American dream that they're destroying.
If you have joint pain and you're concerned you may be taking too many over-the-counter pills, here's a simple way to find out. Just read the labels. This one says, for the temporary relief of minor aches and pains. What else? Not to exceed 8 tablets in 24 hours. And right here it says, do not take this product for pain for more than 10 days unless directed by a doctor. It is small type, but it's there for a reason. If your pain lasts more than 10 days, talk to a doctor, because the risks are real. Ulcers, kidney problems, liver problems, and far worse. So no matter what medication you take for joint pain, over-the-counter or prescription, make sure you're taking it the right way. Read the labels. If your joint pain lasts more than 10 days, talk to your doctor. To find out more about Safe Arthritis Joint Pain Relief or to get your free information kit, visit safepainrelief.com. Know the risks. Get the facts. This message brought to you by Pfizer.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, all streaming all over the planet on radiopower.org, a chat room absolutely full of folks from all over planet Earth. We've had folks in the chat room for that matter.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, all streaming all over the planet on radiopower.org, a chat room absolutely full of folks from all over planet Earth. We've had folks in the chat room for that matter. We've had people call into the program from Dubai, from Scotland, from Korea, and on to Japan. I voted out one King George in 1776. Let's do it again in 2004. Thank you, Kinder. Well said. The Center for American Progress today, interesting note, in West Virginia, those of you who may be registered as Democrats, you will probably be receiving a phone call. Calls from a cell phone were made to Eastern Panhandle Democrats telling them that they wouldn't be able to vote on election. The purpose of the calls is to make sure everyone's registered to vote. If they are, that's great. That's exactly what we need. Yeah, right. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number if you'd like to call in and weigh in on the issues of the day. And our website, tomhartman.com, however you spell it, it's actually T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's, but we have all the various misspellings. And tomhartman.com, you can drop into our chat room, just click the live chat button, it gets you to the Democratic Forum on CompuServe that's hosting it. It's time for our Howard Beale alert.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get out of hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yes, in memory of Howard Beale, the character in the movie Network. Every day here for the last few days, and probably tomorrow as well, leading up to the election, our daily Howard Beale alert. The person that we congratulate with our Howard Beale alert is Josh Chaffetz, Chaffetz. He's one of the more famous conservative Republican bloggers. One of the guys out there in cyberspace on the internet, one of the more well-known ones, actually. Oxblog, oxblog.blogspot.com. And he says, and I quote, "Any election must largely be a referendum on the incumbent, and I am increasingly convinced that Bush has mismanaged too many important aspects of our foreign policy to be given my trust again. Let me note, in any situation in which military force is clearly called for, e.g. another attack leading to another Afghanistan, I have complete confidence that Kerry will make the right call, and I am also convinced that Bush, even a reelected Bush, would lack the political capital to send American troops into battle again in a close call." So thanks, or congratulations to Josh Chaffetz, our winner of today's Howard Beale Alert of the Day. As it were. Let's go to the phone lines. The phone lines have been lit up here all day long, and a lot of people want to just kind of get this stuff out, right? It's one day before regime change, 1,105 days since 9/11, 806 days since the anthrax attacks guaranteed the passage of the Patriot Act by driving Tom Daschle and Pat Leahy, who at the time was the head of the Judiciary Committee, out of their offices, 729 days since the weapons of mass destruction search was begun, still looking, George Bush humorously looking under his desk as people die, 500 days since Joe Wilson's wife was outed. 1-866-889-8894. Craig in Charlottesville, Virginia on the line. Hey, Craig, welcome to the program.
Hello, Tom. I'd like to say good work.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
I'm one who fervently believes that W is unequivocally the worst president this nation has ever seen.
I'm inclined to agree with you. Halfway through his presidency, I thought he might just be just about as bad as John Adams, but John Adams actually put into prison newspaper editors who wrote things against him. So it's kind of pushing.
We can look for that in W's second term, I think, if he gets another second term.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Although I fervently hope that Kerry wins, and I kind of think he will. Do the Democrats have a plan, or what should be their B plan in case he does get back in?
You mean Bush? If Bush wins? Yeah. If Bush gets elected rather than reelected?
Right, or if they hijack it again like they did last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
One way or the other.
If that happens, frankly, I got to tell you, Craig, I've already kind of gone through the scenario in my mind to the point where I've accepted it, you know, as a possibility. And I think that in a bizarre kind of way, outside of the damage that he can do with the Supreme Court by appointing, you know, Supreme Court justices, setting that aside, and of course that's a huge set aside. I mean, you know, we're talking a hypothetical here, so we'll create a world that isn't real for a moment. Setting aside the damage that would be done by Bush appointing more Scalias and Thomases to the bench and the Supreme Court, I think that Bush being elected might actually be in a bizarre kind of way, a good thing for America, because it will be the destruction of the Republican Party as it is known today. Those folks like Bill Frist and Newt Gingrich and Tom DeLay, who are so corrupt and so willing to lie to accomplish their power, and so in the pockets of huge corporations, they're going to go down in flames. Because if Bush gets elected, he's going to have to deal with the mess that he's created. I mean, we are heading downhill where there's a cliff in the distance, and it's not that far away, and we're going downhill 100 miles an hour, and the brakes are out. And whoever becomes president is going to inherit just a mind-boggling mess.
But by Bush's point of view, he has no mess.
Right. Well, exactly.
He would, I'm certain, continue with that point of view.
But see, if he does, then
he'd be a lame duck president, and he would feel free to do whatever he wants.
I know, and it's going to, and if Bush gets elected, it is going to plunge this nation into something that's going to make the Great Depression look like an absolute picnic.
But my point is, we can't just sit back like Gore did after the other election in 2001 and do nothing.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. If there's any possibility,
like white on rice all the time.
Yep.
For the full 4 years.
Absolutely. If there's any possibility, you know, but you were asking for the plan B, but I'd say, you know, the plan A is, if there's any possibility whatsoever that Kerry legitimately won and that it's being suppressed or it's being hidden or it's being BS'd or whatever, as it was in Florida, then absolutely we need to be aggressive about making sure that the right guy gets into the Oval Office.
Yeah.
But if the majority of Americans actually do, watch that Bin Laden tape and do believe that somehow that although Bush set terrorism as a low priority during the first 9 months, just wanted to talk about oil policy and Saddam to people like Paul O'Neill, and on his watch allowed the greatest intelligence lapse in history, that is the attack on the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon. If somehow people think that means that when they see the picture of Osama, that Bush is the best guy to protect us, which is logic that escapes me, but for some reason all these conservative pundits seem to think it is. If that happens, and the majority of people worried about it, I think that American democracy is incredibly resilient. We've had over 200 years of it in this country. It is in our genes. It's burned into us. Unlike a lot of nations, unlike Germany after World War One, which allowed Hitler to rise, they had the experience of democracy only for, you know, a generation basically. They were very willing to go back to kaisers and kings, you know, in
this
the form of Hitler.
This is very true, but don't underestimate the possibility that we are not too strong to fall.
No,
it could happen.
It depends,
to stronger societies than us.
On the one hand, I agree with you, but it depends on what you mean by fall. If you mean fall as a worldwide empire, I think we're on the edge of it right now.
Yeah, and also the destruction of our way of life, which is we're halfway there now.
Well, we have mortgaged it. I mean, I was amazed yesterday to read in the paper that 79% of all the savings in the world, all the people all over the planet Earth who save their money, and put that savings into, you know, buying IOUs, that is like buying are putting it into American debt. You know, we now soak up 79% of all the world's available cash to pay for our debt.
Yeah.
And are all the world's available savings to pay for our debt. That is a bill that's going to come due, and it's going to come due probably in the next couple of years. And when it does, it's going to take some really dramatic action, some very fast thinking. And I think that Kerry, I know that Kerry can deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that Bush can.
Bush wants to walk through this world ignoring the rest of the world as if they didn't exist.
Bush is going to do the same thing Herbert Hoover did. He's going to sit around and do nothing.
He's going to fall on his head.
Yeah, and then he's going to try and, you know, pin the blame on somebody else. And it will be the end. It will be
the Democrats' fault.
Right. And this is something that no amount of spin from you know the pig man and the piglets and you know, all the, you know, the right wing talk show, no amount of spin is going to allow. Is going to cause Americans to realize, you know, to not get that
yeah,
Bush did
I
this
hope,
to us.
I hope beyond all hope that it never gets to that point.
Yeah.
Because if it does, we are in serious trouble.
I agree, and it's not anything that I want to live through, and it's not anything that I want
no.
my children to live through. But if it happens, you know, when all is said and done, you know, it's kind of like going through chemotherapy, coming out the other end, and being cancer free. You know, it may be. If not the best, you know, if not for the better, at least, you know, something that's survivable. I think it's something that's survivable. I'm not in hysterical about it, frankly.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it, Craig. 1-866-889-8894. Sean in Indianapolis is on the line. Hey, Sean, what's up? We got about a minute here.
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to tell you guys that I got the program Winamp.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the internet TV section where they have a lot of channels.
Uh-huh.
They got like Freedom TV and Patriot TV,
mm-hmm.
but they've also got this other one called By the People Number 2. And what they've been showing all weekend is all the MoveOn.org commercials that didn't win the competition.
Oh, that's great. Some of those were really excellent.
And I mean, there's some really fantastic anti-Bush commercials out there.
Yeah, there some of those were really excellent. I remember going through those when the voting was going on. But, you know, the thing that I think is fascinating, Sean, if you want to watch some good TV on the web, go to votergate.tv, www.votergate.tv. It's an entire movie you can watch on the Internet. Pick the low resolution so that you'll leave some bandwidth for other people to watch it as well.
Yeah.
And it's just remarkable. It's about the theft of the vote and what's been happening in the electronic voting machines and the whole thing. And it's wonderful that these folks are willing to put this movie up on the web where anybody can see it. Sean, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 20 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank funded by some beer emperor.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way: to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, training and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Economics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Economics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. All the attention given to Halliburton and their no-bid contract in Iraq would make you think that it is not a regular practice. But a new report from the Center of Public Integrity reveals that at least $362 billion was spent on no-bid contracts by the Pentagon since 1998. But the Pentagon did not stop there, rewarding $255 billion in cost-plus contracts that allow companies to spend as much as they deem necessary on a job, including an agreed-upon profit.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And what was the name of this ill-fated ship? And where did she go on her ill-fated trip? Laman Oil from Africa never thinks twice. The name of the ship, Condoleezza Rice. And the name of the ship, Condoleezza Rice.
And well yes, she actually does have a ship named after her, Condoleezza Rice, an oil tanker. From her days as an oil consultant, isn't it odd? The National Security Advisor, a former corporate oil consultant, the president, a former oil industry CEO, the vice president, an oil industry CEO. And we're fighting a war on the nation that has the world's largest supply of oil. Well, they say Saudi Arabia has the world's largest supply of oil, but most people in the oil industry itself are starting to recalculate that. You know, only 23% of Iraq's oil fields have actually been fully explored, and there's a lot of very, very positive speculation in the oil industry that Iraq has a lot more oil than anybody had given it credit for. Of course, this is something that Cheney has known for some time. Thoughts on all this? Let's just listen very quickly to a comment by Ray McGovern, a veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency.
There are two things wrong here. One is the debacle in intelligence. The other, more serious one, is the constitutional crisis where one branch of our government, over an extended period of time, incredibly cynically usurped the prerogative of the other. That is, the executive took the power of Congress by deceiving it into thinking that it was necessary to wage a war, which everyone recognizes now to have been unnecessary and unprovoked.
The constitutional crisis. This is, again, where I'm saying if Bush gets elected this time, I suspect it'll be just like Nixon's second term. He will be impeached. He will be held guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, perhaps even of treason when the stuff comes out about outing Valerie Plame, not to mention lying and lies that have led to the death of over 100,000 human beings, over 1,000 of our soldiers. I just, you know, it can't stand. It can't stand. 1-866-889-8894. Armin in Sarasota, Florida on the line. Hey, Armin, welcome back to the program. What's on your mind today?
Thank you very much. Please let me go forward with this, if I may. I'm appealing to these people that hold themselves out as Christians that claim to support Bush.
I suspect, Armin, there's not a lot of them listening to this show who claim to support Bush, but there's probably a lot of Christians listening. Go ahead.
Anyway, Bush did make the statement that God told him to invade Afghanistan and Iraq. We know this. And the people that...
He said it to Sharon, didn't he?
Pardon?
Wasn't it in El Haaretz that he said that to Sharon? That
Yes, it was.
Yeah, El Haaretz that he said that to Sharon. That
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was
God told me to strike Osama, and I struck him, and God told me to strike Saddam, and
right.
I struck him, and, you know, yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyway, to those people that claim to be, you know, consider themselves to be Christians that support him, okay, they don't depend on Bush to drive their vehicles or assist them in driving their vehicles. They don't depend on Bush to help them buy their food and prepare it. And they don't depend on him for a lot of things in their lives. And I look at it like you wouldn't want to take, obviously, you wouldn't want to give blind allegiance to him holding himself out as somebody that's a spokesman to you on Christian values and faith. And I want to read something to you. And this is in the Bible, and this should go out to these people too. It's in the Bible that many Christians proclaim to support and believe in.
If it's less than two sentences, okay.
Mark chapter 14,
okay.
And it's verse 21 and 22. In 21 it says, in Christ.
Yeah.
Or low.
Armin, you know, I've asked you before not to read to us, number one. And number two, we're not here to discuss theology. You know, I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate your intentions. You know, I share them. But we're not going to go there. 1-866-889-8894, a telephone number, 29 minutes past the hour, discussing solutions and not false promises. Tom Hartman here with you.
There's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Even with only one day left until Election Day, the Swift Vote veterans controversy is still refusing to die. The American Federation of Government Employees is calling for an investigation into why retired Air Force Colonel Ken Cordier, a man linked to the Swift Vote vets, was allowed to make disparaging remarks toward Democrats while giving a speech on POW issues at Waco Veterans Federal Affairs Regional Office. According to witnesses, Cordier started referring to scumbags who threw their medals and said he hated the Democratic Party since LBJ stopped bombing Vietnam. In addition, the AFGE, who has endorsed Senator Jones on at least two VA campuses.
Controversy has swirled around Walmart's announcement to build near Mexico's Teotihuacan pyramids, and yesterday more than 100 people rallied at the archaeological site protesting what they believe is a desecration of their culture. Antonio Garcia Nieto is a local resident.
My family and I have found several ancient vases that used to belong to our ancestors, and we turned them over to the National Institute of Anthropology and History. They say that we are crazy and that there is no destruction. And the truth is that there is, because we are witnesses of the destruction that is happening where they are building the Walmart.
Residents are angry that the store would be visible from the top of the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon.
Federal complaints have been filed against Colorado's top three grocery chains, who have signed a pact to share revenue in the event of a strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union alleges that Safeway, King Soopers, and Albertsons have refused to turn over details of the pact and are violating antitrust laws by making the deal. The two sides are currently in contract negotiations, and the UFCW could strike if a compromise is not reached by the end of this week. There's disagreement over health care benefits and wage increases. UFCW Local 7 represents the more than 17,500 workers involved in negotiations.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Have your wages stagnated but your credit card bill skyrocketed? According to a report by the Economic Policy Institute, current U.S. economic growth is being driven by increasing debt, not by wage growth. The GDP grew by 3.7% in the third quarter, consumer spending increased by 4.6%, yet after-tax income grew by only 1.9% in the last quarter. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Show a little passion, baby.
Yeah, a little style in the voter booth tomorrow. You can get in there and pull the right button, as they say. 1-866-889-8889 for our telephone number. Bill in, where is he in here? It doesn't say. He's forwarded to me this joke from John Cleese, the famous actor and not Firesign Theater. What's the British group? You know who I'm talking about anyhow. How many Bush administration officials... Monty Python. How many Bush administration officials does it take to change a light bulb? What do you think? How many Bush administration officials do you think it takes to change a light bulb? Well, says John Cleese,
none! There's nothing wrong with that light bulb. There's no need to change anything. We've made the right decision and nothing has happened to change our minds. People who criticize this light bulb now just because it doesn't work anymore supported us when we first screwed it in, and when these flip-floppers insist on saying that it's burned out, they are merely giving aid and encouragement to the forces of darkness.
There you go. John Cleese, George Bush light bulb joke of the day. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Hey, I've got a question for you. Suppose that the following happens. Bush gets reelected, but people come to their senses in 2 years, and we change the Congress, both House and Senate, and then this joker gets impeached. And my question is if he is appointed and has actually managed to get confirmed Supreme Court justices, and then he gets impeached, is there anything we can do about the Supreme Court justices that the administration that got impeached had installed?
No. The only way you can get out a Supreme Court justice once the Senate has voted and confirmed them is by impeaching them.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry, Chuck. It doesn't. It's not like, you know, this one sticks to that one. It's you know, once it's done, it's a done deal. You know. On the other hand, you know, the kind of good news is that some of the more progressive Supreme Court justices were actually appointed by Reagan and Bush Sr. David Souter, for example, I think is a fairly reasonable guy. So you just never know. I mean, but
that is true. I mean, we have a fairly interesting history of a lot of Supreme Court justices rising to the task.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, in more cases than not, that has been the history. The conspicuous exceptions are Thomas and Scalia. They are probably the two worst Supreme Court justices since Stephen Foster was on the Supreme Court in 1886.
Yeah.
And but that's a whole other rant. Anyway, thanks for the call, Chuck.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. 24 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889.
Supreme Court justices rising to the task.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, in more cases than not, that has been the history. Conspicuous exceptions are Thomas and Scalia. They are probably the two worst Supreme Court justices since Stephen Foster was on the Supreme Court in 1886.
Yeah.
And but that's a whole other rant. Anyway, thanks for the call, Chuck.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. 24 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889-8894. Enrique in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Santa Fe, New Mexico, on the line. Hey, Enrique, how's life? What's up?
Pretty good, Tom. And you?
I am great.
All right.
And you?
You know, we've been seeing a lot of these polls, and you know, I think that a lot of times these polls are just out there to discourage voters, you know, to stay home and or to go with the winner who's perceived to be Bush.
Well, it's funny, Enrique, you know, because this year there's a lot of speculation about this in the among the punditry. It's well known your numbers, so you know, it's I'm not sure it's just a, you know, simple black and white thing anymore.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, I don't think people should give too much credence and just go out there and, you know, work as hard as they can and be sure to vote. I mean,
yep.
By all means, don't stay home because, you know, your guy's behind.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And that absolutely is the bottom line. Is that,
and
you know,
I'm
take nothing
thinking
for granted.
That it's going to be a giant victory for Kerry.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think 5, 6, 7 points. Even.
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, the voter registration we did and the events that we've held, and it's just so busy here in Santa Fe.
Yeah, and the other thing that causes me to think that it's going to be a huge victory for Kerry is the number of Republicans and conservatives of principle, people of principle, people who are not just, it's my team, you know, and therefore, you know, rah-rah, but people who stand on principles and actually believe in some of the more noble, actually, principles of the historic Republican Party and conservative principles, are deserting George Bush in droves.
Yeah.
And I think, frankly, the Bush over the edge into oblivion and lift Kerry into the White House are conservatives and Republicans who are going to walk into that booth and say, I just can't vote for this guy Bush. He has just damaged this country so badly. I can't be responsible. I can't have on my conscience that I brought him in. And that's why you see, like, for example, you know, the editorial in the American Conservative, Pat Buchanan's magazine, coming out and endorsing Kerry. I think, frankly, conservatives and Republicans are going to make the difference. Enrique, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. 21 minutes past the hour, before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Our number, 1-866-889-8894. The website, tomhartman.com, if you want to drop into our live chat room full of interesting, well-informed, thoughtful folks. And we did have a troll in there for a while. It was kind of fun, you know. It was having somebody to, he kept going, isn't it wonderful we liberated Iraq? You know, like this. he had some interesting conversations going. You know, what can you say? But he's given up. He's given up. Or maybe he's been converted. Who knows? 20 minutes before the hour, let's go to Mark from Santa Fe. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Got some crazy Santa Fe stuff for you. But first of all, I thought the October surprise was going to be a November surprise, whereas the everyone is going to be so aware of all of the cheating going on by the Republicans that naturally, as you know, the human behavior dictates, is that the other side, our side, will start doing their share of trying to hedge their bets, counterbalance that.
You mean by cheating?
Yes,
the conservatives are accusing Democrats of that. The evidence that I'm seeing is that the fraud that's going on is registrations paid for by Republicans for Ralph Nader, and that's where the Donald Duck registrations are coming from. But the Republicans are disingenuously going on national news shows and blaming Democrats for that, as if a Democrat
would want Mickey Mouse. But anyway, yeah. I thought that the October surprise would be the November surprise of the government being able to shut itself down, saying, well, there's just way too much cheating and we're just going to have to keep the same president. I don't know what sort of a thing that would, how they would call that. But.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, we had an election during the Civil War. We've had elections during, American democracy, America will survive. Democracy is going to limp through. We're going to get through this one way or another. Hopefully we'll get through it this year. We may have to wait 2 years or 4 years to really get through it. But this is an aberration.
The thing I called about is what two astrologers who didn't even know each other were both saying the same thing. Of course, we're from Santa Fe, that Bush is going to retain presidency, if he ever had it to begin with, but that he's not going to make it more than 2 years.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Well, that's my point. If he gets elected, it's going to be like Nixon's second term. It's, when he got impeached. Because this guy has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. John Dean pointed out so well in his book, Worse Than Watergate. He has committed crimes worthy of impeachment. Far, far worse, than having a little hanky-panky with one of the interns in the side room. I mean, we're talking about people dying. We're talking about blood on the streets.
Absolutely criminal. Yeah.
We're talking, serious crimes. I mean, real crimes. Thanks a lot for the call, Mark. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Our number, 1-866-889-8894. Well, that's interesting. Somebody's figured out how to reverse type in the chat room. I'm learning something here. Anyhow, let's move along here. Carrie in Arizona, a listener in Arizona on the line. Hey, Carrie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking, President Bush was asking the Democrats to cross over and vote for him.
Yes, he was.
I'm thinking seriously on after the election is change my affiliation from Democrat to Republican Party, and that way I can go ahead and vote for the most moderate or at least the least conservative, moral majority type person in the Republican Party, and then so all my support and all my contributions to the Democrat.
Well, there's a lot of people, historic Republicans, as I said, Republicans of good conscience, Republicans who, even though I disagree with them politically, I respect, who are working very hard to try and take back the Republican Party. I think John McCain, frankly, is one of them.
I think John McCain is very good, but he also turns his back from time to time on the normal Arizona people.
Well, and on the poor and whatnot. He's a Republican. I mean, he's got the Republican agenda, and you have to deal with that. But if you believe in that kind of stuff, but the point is that what the Republicans are getting it, that the neocons are not conservatives. And that George Bush is neither conservative nor Republican. He's just something really weird. In my terminology, using the classic dictionary definition, a fascist and a radical. I mean, a fascist in the sense that Mussolini, when he invented the word back in 1924, the merging of corporate and state interests. I mean, this is a guy bought and paid for by corporations and proud of it. And you know, and he has appointed his pioneers and rangers to high positions in high places, like Elaine Chao at Department of Labor, you know, Paul O'Neill, John Snow, you know, on and on the list goes. You give him enough money, you get a job in the cabinet, and it's just you know, a lot of Republicans are looking at it and reaching for their barf bags. They've had enough, and I encourage Republicans who are listening to take back the Republican Party, just like I encourage progressives and liberals and people who believe in the historic principles of the Democratic Party, the Jeffersonian principles of the early Democratic Party, and the recent principles of the Democratic Party since Franklin Roosevelt, to take back the Democratic Party. I mean, the Democratic Party has been stolen twice. It was stolen by the pro-slavery bunch starting about 1830, which, you know, led to the Civil War, and it was corrupted all the way up until basically the 1920s, 1930s, when Roosevelt took it over. And the Republican Party was corrupted in the 1870s when the party of Lincoln was taken over by Ulysses S. Grant and his corporate cronies, and it's been corrupted pretty much ever since. I think Eisenhower tried to bring it back. He really, you know, he had a heart attack second year in office, and Nixon basically ran the government most of Eisenhower's administration, and the Republican Party's had a real hard time of it, and it's time for people of principle, people who don't just want to play political gotcha, who don't just want to, you know, do the slap down stuff like you see on Crossfire, but instead who are really concerned about real issues and the real true future of democracy and freedom in this Democratic Republic, to take back the Republican and Democratic parties and to once again have legitimate debate about serious issues that face this country.
Yes, I agree totally with that.
I think it's just absolutely vital. It's absolutely vital for the health and survival of both parties and for the health and survival of this nation. So that's my take on that. Kerry, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it, and thank you for listening to us there in Arizona. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Brodka from Orlando on the line, also in our chat room, as I recall.
Hey, Tom, I wanted to talk about the 6 October surprises that weren't.
Okay.
I didn't invade Iran. And that didn't happen because the military stretched too thin. That threw a wrench in the Project for a New American Century's goal of being able to fight 2 major theater wars simultaneously.
Yeah, not like they didn't plan for it, though.
That's right. Another one was finding no WMDs. We thought that might be a surprise, but actually there are none. That's why we didn't find any.
Yep.
We didn't capture Osama bin Laden because our focus was diverted in the Iraq war.
No, he captured us.
And as far as Iraq's concerned, Saddam's trial that we thought might happen didn't, and that's probably because he would reveal that there were no weapons, there were no plan for weapons, and that the weapons that they did have were sold to us, sold to them by Donald Rumsfeld.
And Bush's father.
Releasing the strategic oil reserves didn't happen. That's because he has more loyalty to his oil buddies than he does the nation.
Well, he actually has been releasing from the strategic oil reserves, at least according to the Wall Street Journal.
Any significant amount?
Yeah, well, he's not dumping it on the market, you know, hugely, but he's
not to affect the price of anything.
Well, it was to try to drive down the price of gasoline, but the problem is it would take so much so fast, and you wouldn't see the result for a few months. Odds are, frankly, because he just started doing it a few weeks ago, that you're going to see the cost of gasoline go down in November or December. Yeah, too little,
too late. And finally, the new vice president didn't happen, and that's obvious because the man who picked the vice president, Dick Cheney, wouldn't even allow that, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. So it's interesting, the October surprises that didn't happen. We're still running our contest, and you are offering the book, October Surprise, Barbara Honegger's book, to whoever, and you're going to make the call on this, Mike. Whoever in our thread, you go to our message board off TomHartmann.com, area at the top of the politics this year, the election issue political discussion, the top message is what's going to be the October surprise that the Bush administration is going to try and pull out of their hat, and whoever wins that is going to get a copy of Barbara Honegger's out-of-print and rare and extraordinary book, October Surprise, and thank you for helping make that happen.
You're welcome.
Yeah, okay.
Have a good day, Tom.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you again. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Helen in West Virginia is on the line. Hey, Helen, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Tom. I think the October surprise is the Bin Laden tape, be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a ploy, and I think Karl Rove is behind it, and because the president told newsmen on TV that it was a blessing.
Well, you know, I don't think that Karl Rove is behind it. I really think that the bin Laden tape is about bin Laden. Bin Laden saw this as the perfect moment to speak to the Islamic world, and he knew that the Bush administration and the American media would hype it as much as they could, and he would get extra publicity value out of it if he released it just before the election. So it's sort of a synergistic, you know, one hand washing the other. He's using Bush. Bush is using him. They're both using each other to accomplish what they want. But
can I ask you one fast thing?
Sure.
Okay, I want to know, where is Ken Lay?
Where is Ken Lay? You know, I honestly don't know, Helen.
No one talks about him.
He's in his undisclosed location with $1 billion. I honestly don't know.
California blackout.
Yeah.
Remember Ken Lay. Okay,
there you go.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Helen.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bonjour, my name is Michel, and I founded the Organic Wine Company with my sister 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines yet, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious that when turned into wine, you can really taste the difference. Our wines are delicious and eco-friendly, so I want to make it very easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organic French wines at half their regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. C'est magnifique! And if you don't agree, I will gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, which is ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reefs that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. ThePeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
A progressive news magazine, In These Times, has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way: to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
This is a WIN feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. Since George Bush took office, an additional 5 million Americans are uninsured, and a new report by Physicians for a National Health Program reveals that the number of uninsured veterans is increasing. Steffi Woolhandler is an associate professor at Harvard. She looked at the national census data and found a shocking number of veterans and their families are not medically protected.
We found that 1.7 million American veterans have neither health insurance nor ongoing access to VA hospital care. In addition, we found 3.9 million family members of veterans who had no health insurance. Added together, that's 5.6 million American veterans and family members with no health insurance.
As founder of the group Physicians for a National Healthcare Program, Woolhandler says Bush administration policies have hurt veterans. Prior to January 2003, all veterans were eligible for care at VA hospitals.
The Bush administration enacted a new policy that cut out middle-income veterans. and only allowed people to get VA care. Their income was below an income cutoff, which is about $25,000.
David Gelvin, veteran of the U.S. Navy.
I do believe that the vets have been let down. I don't have a service-related illness, and I was advised by the VA in Indianapolis that if I didn't have a service-related illness or disability, that I wasn't going to be accepted. So I went ahead and applied and was really never heard back from them, and was told that it's pretty much a no deal. If if I get carted in an emergency, it might be a different situation, but as long as I was healthy, it didn't look like I was going to get any help at all.
With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The billionaires don't want you to vote.
Don't vote.
If you're happy with George Bush in charge.
Don't vote.
If you want to keep us living large.
Don't vote.
Do you really want to rock the boat?
Don't vote.
Hey, the billionaires don't want you to vote.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman here with you. Yeah, the billionaires definitely don't want you to vote. They're just having a good old time, aren't they? 5 minutes before the hour, 4.5 minutes before the hour. Diane in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the line. Hey, Diane, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I'm mad as hell.
Oh, yeah? And not going to take it anymore?
No, I'm going to keep taking it, unfortunately. I'm Jewish, and I keep getting postcards and phone calls from Ed Koch and other people. I just got another one today from a woman who's pro choice and Ed Koch, who is pro stem cell research, but because of Israel, they're voting Republican and urge me to do the same.
Yeah, as if John Kerry is like, you know, the nephew of Arafat or something. Right?
Well, just the whole idea. This is from the Republican Jewish Coalition, a grassroots movement, and just the whole idea that, first of all, the Middle East is safer now. Hello.
Yeah.
And second of all, that we're supposed to screw this country and only think of that one. That's how people ended up in concentration camps, screw our country.
It is not logical. And George Bush has not been a friend of Israel. He has not done the thing, in my opinion. And I've spent a lot of time in Israel, and I consider myself a friend of Israel. And George Bush has not done the things that would be necessary to bring about peace in the Middle East. He ignored it until 9/11. Then he trotted out his little roadmap thing, and then basically he went away.
Well, not only. Richard Cohen had a really good editorial, at least in our paper on Friday, and another one on Sunday, saying how fallacious it is for Jews to switch party affiliations because Clinton worked really hard to try to bring peace with Israel, and how much more dangerous life is in Israel since George Bush took office, and really sank the world.
And Jimmy Carter won a Nobel Prize for his work trying to bring peace to Israel.
Right.
I mean, this is just this is Diane. Give him some blowback, tell him that you're mad as hell and you're not going to put up with it anymore. I appreciate the call. This is a real issue. It's a very serious issue. It's a life and death issue for a lot of people in the world. Thanks to Louise for producing our program today. Thanks to Rama Schneider for showing up and engineering it, as he does on Mondays. Thanks to Brad for our music, to Shelby for streaming us around the planet on radiopower.org, and our friends at Cable Radio Network for putting us on cable systems around all of our affiliates, our radio stations. Thanks to our sponsors, and thanks to you and the folks in our chat room for showing up. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace.
The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa